Hello, and welcome to episode 8 of the SFL Drifters podcast. I'm your host, the captain, Captain Ben. With me, Tim Murphy.
How you doing?
And back again. I know before we mentioned that he wasn't ever going to be back, but here he is, world famous Chris Jackson.
Hello, podcasters.
What brings you back, Jackson?
Basically you, Captain Ben.
Oh, okay.
Been invited back, and, you know, this time it was planned. Last time it was just kind of
random
crashing the podcast, but, you know.
Podcast crasher.
Yeah.
This is what you call planned chaos.
Yes.
Yes,
it will be.
This is the drifting of podcasts.
This will be the best episode, I believe.
Best episode.
We'll of course.
Of course, we have Chris here today because Noel is on a leave of absence.
For personal reasons, is up in Tampa.
For his lady friend. It's my lady friend.
Took the Greyhound bus to go up there.
Why would he take the Corolla?
You seriously? It's a Toyota. I would never make it.
Let's not get started.
Yeah, okay. I'm outnumbered here. But I'm usually outnumbered, so it's okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, but the world hates BMW.
Yeah.
Except for like 18-year-old girls.
That's fine. They can hop in. They're legal.
Oh, yeah. Touché.
Yes.
But yeah, he'll be back hopefully next time around. But maybe he'll stay up there. Maybe he'll find love. And he'll get hitched.
Well, love's in the air. Maybe. I don't know.
We'll see what happens. But Tim, what you been up to recently?
Finally got the garage going up tomorrow. Mr. Chris Jackson is coming to help out. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Making a lot of food. We got chicken, sausages are going, of course, because, you know. And then we have hamburgers, hot dogs, as if the sausages weren't enough. And then I actually have flank
steak.
There'll
be a lot of sausage that I bought.
Skirt steak. There's going to be a lot of sausage flying around. But we got skirt steak as well. I'm going to make cheesy potatoes. It's going to be good. We're going to eat. I think we're going to end up eating more than anything, but we should be able to get done. I bought all the drill bits and all the other garbage that we needed today. So we should be good. And I'm charging batteries now. We'll see how it goes.
How many people do you expect to be here?
I should have at least 10 people here.
10?
Yeah. I actually would like a couple more.
I'll Craigslist that tonight.
Yeah.
Tonight, I will Craigslist that tonight. We'll have
No. Okay, yeah, we'll have people. I heard you guys need work for free.
I built sheds for 40 years.
No, I'm just good.
You can put it up as a Facebook event.
Yeah. I did. I put it up. Like, anybody want to help out?
It was just a status update. You got to put it as a Facebook event.
Well,
then
too late
it'll
for
be
that
public,
now.
And anybody will be able to see it and share it, like it.
You know what? I can swing by, like, on Sample Road.
No.
The day laborers on the side.
Yeah, I can go by the gas station around the corner. Come on, hop in the truck, guys.
I'll give you a 2J cam if you hop in.
Yes.
Or something.
Yes.
I got two 2J cams in the garage. Yes.
Oh, really? Yeah. Leftover from the trophies that you made?
Yep, leftover from the trophies that I made.
Yeah, you cut 2J cams to make trophies.
Actually, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
Those were the KA cams that I cut.
Oh, you said the 2J cams?
I didn't use the 2J cams because the KA cams had those cam gears on the top. They look pretty cool.
Nice.
Little sprocket things, whatever.
He's probably going to find a way to bring those 2J cams to the BMW. That's why I kept them.
Yeah, that's why. But it is.
He needs all the help that he can get.
Yes.
Some Toyota love.
How about you, Jackson? What you been up to?
I've been catching back up, you know, trying to get the shop rolling again from the event. Pretty much basically that. Been driving around for a week with about 300 tire rings in the back of my truck. Probably lost about 15 of them.
Did you really?
Oh, you think they had to fly off and hit them over the highway? Like, I was killed Keith the other day.
We tied them down pretty good.
The point we did, we only tied it in 2 points. So like, it slipped off one, it loosened up the rest of them. Because we only looped it through.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, it's good. It's less we got to take out later. So, that's good.
So if you see a huge truck... A green truck with Jackson Performance stickers all around.
Yes,
make sure to avoid it. No, then don't get in back of it.
Oh, no. You will get stuff flown at you. And it says the Hulk on the license plate, so you can't confuse it.
Yeah. What inspired you? That's not the idea. I'm like, the Hulk. I'm like, wait.
That's like a fast Tokyo Drift thing.
It's a big green truck. It's the Hulk.
Yeah. You know what? It's so dirty that it looks black.
Yeah.
Well, it really doesn't look green.
It really is green. You know,
was it once
not
upon
my,
a time.
Not my choice in colors, but, you know, it's what the truck came to me. So.
Yeah.
Chevy, though, you know, so. You know how Tim's a big fan of the Chevys.
Anyways, so what else do we got going on?
Well, anything interesting at the shop? Anything like
I have at the shop now Jurassic Park 3, the arcade game.
So come on by.
Yes.
What are you doing?
I have a full size arcade game with two guns, and we shoot some dinosaurs now. And Brandon was kind enough to come and fix the power supply, and you know, we did a trade is how I acquired it. But we shoot dinosaurs and stuff.
So he traded an SR.
Yeah.
For an arcade game.
What?
Yes.
Who does that?
Chris Jackson.
Why would you do it? It's awesome.
I haven't got a chance to play it.
It's cool. It's only a quarter. You know?
You actually charge people?
Well, it was free, but, you know, people, if they're going to have to not work, you know, at least like make a quarter every half an hour or something.
Yeah. Oh, crap. I got to work another hour so I can play the game.
Yeah, pretty much. Wow. They have to work like 5 hours to make a quarter. But
all right.
But yeah,
well,
that's pretty awesome. I finally got signs for Jack's performance. We've been almost 5 years now. So I'm probably going to – I have one sign in the office. I'm going to put one above the bay finally. So people might know we're actually like, you know, a shop. So okay. Just like a guy with a bay.
Big things. Big things are happening.
Other than that, not really too much. You know, the I Want a Drift car is coming along. Still don't want to even touch my race car.
Got too much other stuff going on.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. So, you know, it's hard for me to stay devoted to the shop. But
I hear you. Okay, Jackson. Thank you for – it's good to know very interesting things are happening at the Jack's Performance Shop.
Oh, yeah. It's very interesting things. And I haven't been fishing in like a month and a half, so.
You're going fishing tomorrow night, right? Tomorrow afternoon?
Tomorrow night or Sunday I'll go fishing.
Didn't you go shrimping, though?
I didn't make it. I was supposed to go.
Soft.
Okay. And what about you, Captain Ben?
Yeah, what's been going on with you?
I don't know. Well, actually, I just wanted to quickly talk about the last skid pad. I actually got to drive an RX-8. And, you know, the RX-8s have been known to be, like, one of the hardest cars to drift, and that's because it has that electronic steering. Adaptive steering.
Yeah, the S2000. Chelsea's car was horrible. Or I tried that car a long time ago.
I tried it, and I had no problem sliding it. The problem that we had is we weren't really deactivating the
traction control.
Once he showed me how to deactivate the traction control, I slid a car, and it was a lot easier.
Yeah.
I actually was able to link the track, and I wasn't lucky.
I felt like I had to keep turning the wheel to keep drifting. Like, to stay at full lock, you had to keep turning it. Like, it kept on trying to center itself.
Yeah. Well, actually, that is definitely what I felt with this RX-8 that I drove this past skid pad. And it wasn't like Chelsea's car, Girl Chelsea, not Chelsea Denofa. Let's go and clarify that.
Right.
Girl Chelsea. She had a blue RX-8, a 2004 model.
It was gray. She had a gray.
She had a gray? Uh-huh. I thought it was blue. Well, I get them all confused. Uh-oh. Anywho. So I got to drive that, and I, like Tim was saying, like I had no issues with it whatsoever. But then I got into this blue RX-8, and it was just such a headache to drive because it's not like any other regular car where you let go of the steering wheel, it countersteers by itself all the way to the opposite lock on the other end.
Yeah.
No, this thing is like it countersteers, but then stops when its center like strains out, so it doesn't want to like countersteer anymore. So obviously, you have the steering wheel wanting to work against you, and it's just like so aggravating and so difficult to like work with. It's like, So yeah, I had to deal with that this past at the last skid pad, and yeah, that's really what
I don't think it would have had anything to do with the tires in the front being wider. It shouldn't really, though, should it?
I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know. And the thing is also, this guy has the car that I was driving was a 2004 RX-8 as well.
That's what I had.
So I just don't understand it. So it was really weird and very frustrating, too.
I don't like electric steering.
Yeah. No, I drove that, what is it, the one series that was there, the silver one.
Oh, okay.
I tried that one out. It has like the heaviest steering wheel in the world. Like,
really?
It's like you really worked to turn that wheel.
Oh.
And it was open diff. It just wasn't impressive at all. But it was BMW, so, you know, I wasn't really expecting much.
Yeah,
I felt bad for the owner. The owner, like, after he saw me do it, like, he went out and for the rest of the night, he kept spinning out into the first turn.
I don't know, but Ben slid a BMW. Remember that white one? That was horrible. We cleared the track that one time.
That was not horrible. That was actually... Damn it, you set me up.
Ike's car?
No. We're talking a guy came out with a BMW a few years ago, this skid pad.
Yes.
That sold pretty well, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
It's nice, wasn't it?
Very nice.
Good power. Mm.
Very nice.
You know, if at about 500 of one's bound to be good.
So. Yeah, but you know, I don't know. We can go into Toyota versus BMW, but we're not going to.
Yeah, we don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Wrecked Magazine is actually doing that right now on Facebook.
And doing what?
Like the motor challenge.
Yeah.
And BMW loses all of them to Toyota guys. So.
Yeah, well, why is that?
They're better,
there's
obviously.
Toyota guys. No way.
They're better. Yeah.
All Toyota. No way.
Yes, all Toyota is better than all of BMW.
And there's no way.
What do you mean? No way.
This is not true.
It is true. It's a fact.
No, it's not facts.
It is
a opinion.
Fact. It is, no, it's opinion. Fact. It's definitely opinion. A fact. It's a fact.
It's opinion. Quiet.
Yes, indeed.
It's true.
Okay, let's go ahead and move on. But other than that, that's really what's
you just
what's
people are afraid of BMW motors, and there's no reason to be.
If you want reliability, buy Toyota.
Yeah. Buy BMW.
They're afraid of getting stuck on the side of the road. That's what they're afraid of.
Well, you got to admit, one of the Achilles heels to BMW is the electronics of it.
The steering?
No, just the electronics, like the wiring and like, for instance, the window coming down and never coming back up. There's something, it always has like...
You know, I worked on a BMW today, actually. I worked on a 318i.
The newer ones aren't like that. The old ones, they just get stuck. But if you figure it's what, an 80 something? Toyota didn't even have power windows in the 80s.
What? My 88.
I'm just joking. I'm just joking.
My 88 Supra.
He gets so upset.
I had headlight washers. I had climate control.
Jackson, calm down. Calm down.
But you know, okay.
Way before time.
So how many turbo inline sixes did BMW come out with?
I don't know. Okay.
None. I think the only one they have is the 1 Series, right?
I don't know.
The 1 Series M. Okay, and okay, the Supra.
It took that long to come to Toyota?
It doesn't. Well, they didn't need it. They still don't really need it.
I did
They put on more power.
Wait, what was it?
A natural NA than Super Motors do.
I did a 318 today. It doesn't even have a tilt steer wheel.
You did a 318. Okay, that's a 4-cylinder.
Doesn't even have a tilt steer wheel.
So
Corollas have tilt steer wheels. Yours is have a tilt steer. Didn't even have, like, they're supposed to be luxury. No tilt steer
what are you talking about?
It's an option. It's a $5,000 option.
Yeah. You gotta have a tilt steer wheel. What is it worth?
Oh, you guys. Oh, man. Point is that when... forget it. You know, not even talk about it. Waste of time.
Let's go ahead and switch gears. One of the topics that we have on deck to talk about is, Tim, Formula Drift. They're doing a Motegi Super Drift Challenge. What's this all about?
Yeah, listen. Okay. Formula Drift is announcing their entry list. They have a top 16 drivers with two alternates, and it's the Motegi Race Super Drift Challenge. It's going to be on March 1st. No, they announced it on March 1st. So what's pretty much what they're doing is it seems to me like the Red Bull Challenge for the most part. There's a $225,000 prize pool. And I'll just kind of read through what I pulled off of the web. It says, we're excited to bring the action and excitement of a drifting competition at night for the first time in 39 years of the Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach. And I guess Jim Law said that. Let's see here. Ticket holders for the Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach will be able to watch the competition taking place in turns 9, 10, and 11 of the world-famous street course from the grandstands, 16, 18, 24, 25... and 26 on the first come, first... I don't even know if I'm reading this makes sense. For the most part, it seems like...
What I noticed on there, $130 for tickets.
In the Action Super Drift Challenge, Long Beach will feature racing from IZOD IndyCar Series, Toyota Pro Celebrity Race, Tequila American Le Mans Series, Firestone... Oh, there's a lot of stuff going on. Ticket prices range from $28 for a Friday general admission ticket to $130 for a 3-day ticket.
Yes.
Of course, that includes Saturday and Sunday. Well, what other 3 days would they be?
Yeah, but still, like, 28 times 3 is not 130.
Yeah.
So what do you get for $130? That's a lot of money.
Reserve seating, grandstand upper levels, prepaid parking packages are also available, along with handicap seating, which I'd hope so. IndyCar paddock passes, super photo tickets, and a wide... Okay, so there's a little more... It's like VIP. If you get the 130, it's VIP for 3 days.
That's a lot of money.
Well...
Watch some guys go sideways.
Well, let me just go through the top 16 drivers and the two alternates. You got Chris Forsberg, Matt Powers, Odie...
Bakis.
Bakis. Toshiki Yoshihara. Yoshi.
Toshiki Yoshioka.
Yoshioka. What the hell? Conrad Grunewald, Mike Essa, Daigo Saito, Robbie Nishida, Ryan Turk, Tyler McQuarrie. Oh, this. Did you hear that? Anyways. He's got a bug again. You brought the bug.
I didn't do anything.
I hear something. I don't hear anything. Mic. Oh, you
hear it? I don't hear it.
You don't hear it? Well, because you guys have your mics, your things turned off. It doesn't matter. So we got Ryan Turk, Tyler McQuarrie, Dai Yoshihara, Frederick Asbo, Kyle Mohan, Tony Angelo, Chelsea Denofa, and Ryan Cato.
Walker Wilkerson.
The alternates are Walker Wilkerson and Jeff Jones. So at least a good amount of drivers.
Yeah.
It's going to be exciting. But for 3 days, are they going to be drifting? Those six, top 16 guys drifting for 3 days?
I don't have no idea.
That's kind of.
That guy's going to win, though.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. That guy's best. That guy's awesome.
Wow. Somebody's on the nutters over here.
So, really not understanding what this event is all about.
Like I said, I think it's just like a, seems like a Red Bull challenge. I'm surprised they didn't do more than 16. Why don't they do 32? If you got 3 days, why wouldn't you do 32 drivers?
Well, which,
and how did they get these drivers?
Maybe they volunteered or something.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know. That's,
well,
thing.
Anyway,
that's,
so that's
the
only really.
We'll get an update on that.
Yeah, maybe next time. But that's the only thing I could really, as far as in the news for drifting news, different than what we've been talking about already. But at least it's something.
Yeah.
And it's factual. I got my facts straight.
Oh, are you glad you're keeping your facts straight?
Yes. Yes, I am. Any other events that we want to talk about?
The Adiri event.
Okay, now I don't know too much about this, and I seem to upset somebody on the forum when I was talking about it. But I know Jen said it went well, but from the video that I saw, it seemed like it was just an open track and just do what you want. I didn't really see a layout. No. Then again, I haven't seen an official. The official video that we did see apparently wasn't an official video.
Yeah, no. It was just a video Adiba posted, supposedly. I think it was official until we said something. Like, oh, never mind. We got a better one coming. But
right, but did it ever come out?
No, I haven't seen anything yet. But like, it was like through a fence. Like from what I saw, there was probably like a couple of drivers out there just messing around.
Well, I mean, they had Jeremy Lowe, they had Dan Shilton, and Pat Gooden, of course, bringing out his pro car.
Yeah,
I guess because it was in there, it was real close to them.
Yeah,
because it would be really nice to see them come down to do the USDC event. But
yeah,
what can you do?
Yeah, they don't want to crash their car supposedly before a big event.
So you drive it on Orlando Speed World that's surrounded by walls.
That makes sense.
Not really. But, you know, I love Pat Gooden. Great guy.
Well, yeah, no, I like all those guys, but they don't want to come down. You know, I can't force them to come down.
No, definitely can't. So
really, they did miss out, though, you know. So.
Yeah, it would have been really good to see some. Those guys down. I think would really push the event to another level.
Yeah.
But what can you do next time?
You know, but you know, the Adiba event happened. I guess they had a couple cars in the car show. It just
apparently like, it was a compared to or what not compared to, but from what Solo Koopy, what Leo said, it was a phenomenal event.
Yeah, but I hear he wasn't even there.
Yeah, I know he wasn't there because he said it was way better than the USDC. So I'm assuming they must have had like 5,000 people at that Adiba event.
Probably.
Pretty must have been pretty intense. Of course, I didn't see that in the video. No. You would think he would capture that.
No, right? It was mediocre, I think. And I don't know. I think they blow it up a little bit more than what happened.
Yeah, I think Steve-O really shed some light on the subject because you got some people that say, oh, it looks like a great event, and they say that any time they see a video. So, well.
I have nothing to say in regards to that. So.
Yeah, well, you had to stay neutral, don't you?
I guess. Huh. I don't have to. I mean, I could say my piece, but I think I'm good. I think I actually want to move on to the bigger subject at hand and start talking about the U.S. Drift Circuit event.
Okay.
That's definitely on everybody's mind, and it's actually good that we got two of the organizers over here who also happen to be on the podcast.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah, okay.
What a coincidence.
Yes, indeed.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
So who wants to talk about the first event, how it went down, and basically how is it that from the first event you used that experience to make the second event?
You want to take this one?
Yeah, I mean, like, the big difference from what happened before and now is we're down a person pretty much from what we had before, in a sense, like a body. We did it before. We didn't really know what we were going into, so we're all kind of feeling it out, seeing what was going on. And then we actually don't have one person work with us anymore. That things that were supposed
to shall remain nameless.
Yeah, we'll remain nameless. But some things didn't happen in the last event that we were expecting, that we counted on, and it didn't happen. That
there was a Chris Jackson takeover. After
It was pretty much, you know, the last, like, you know, 3 days before, it was just kind of thrown together to get it done and make it happen. This event, we had a lot more time, and we knew what we had to do, and everybody that had to do something took care of it. So, you know, like 3 days before the event, no one was stressing out. Everybody knew everything was in place. And then we had also beforehand, we had at the casino, we had state of stance call us a week before, and we're not going to be able to do it. We have family issues. Okay, well, you know, what are we going to do? We can't tell the guy, no, you can't back out. So he backed out. And then this time we were lucky enough, we got Felix from Bragging Rights, and I couldn't ask for anybody happier than him. He's awesome. Really easy to deal with. He came and, you know, did exactly what he had to do. His video for this one was awesome.
No, he came out with a video quick.
Yeah,
quick. And it was good. Awesome. It was very good. The way he incorporated the, because at this event, okay, the first event, we did the drifting. What we learned from is that we didn't really educate the crowd as far as let them know what's going on. We didn't give them a schedule. The crowd came in. There was drifting, but they just saw drifting. There was they didn't know really what was going on.
That was the only thing there, technically. There was nothing else. Like, the car show was...
Yeah, State of Stance back down on us about 2 weeks before the event, said, oh, by the way, I'm not running it. And we're like, okay, thanks, because we had a meeting like over a month ago, and everything was cool.
Everything
now
was cool.
It's not. So that being said, as far as the show aspect for the spectators, it wasn't as good as this one. What we learned from last time was, okay, we really need to make the spectators happy, because you make the spectators happy, it doesn't – one, it makes the event better. Your vendor is going to be happy. Your sponsor is going to be happy. They're going to want to come back again. And also, it's going to grow the sport of drifting. The drifting is going to be there – as long as we have drivers that are willing to compete, if they're going to put on a show, the educating the audience on what's going on and how things are judged is, you know, because a lot of people think when you talk about drifting, they'll say, oh, it's just a bunch of guys doing donuts and whatever, whatnot. But it's not. It's a structured sport. It's organized, and we do have a system. I always explain it's more like an X Games type of thing where you're being judged and whatnot. So learning that from the first event, carrying that over our mistakes. Well, not really say mistakes, but because all in all, the first event went pretty well.
Oh, it went awesome.
It went awesome. And only there's things that we had to tweak. This time, I honestly don't think we were prepared for the amount of spectators
we planned to have a copy of the last one that was good. This one was just.
We thought, okay,
insane.
The first one we had maybe between 1,000 and 1,200 people there throughout the whole day. And we're thinking, oh, we'll probably get definitely more than that.
A little bit more.
Well, we tripled that.
Yeah, exactly.
So we had more stands than last time, but we need like legit grandstands next time, because the amount of people that couldn't see turned around and walked away because they're like, I can't see anything, because the whole wall on the fence was all taken up with the people standing and watching. Mm-hmm. And we had two this time. The first time we had solo drivers and tandem drivers sharing the same track, same layout, so we had to split that a bunch, which really wasn't much of an issue. This time, we had two totally separate tracks going simultaneously for the first part of the day and having the same judges when it did come time for judging, having to go back and forth. It was pretty intense. Once we started the qualifying, it was boom, boom, boom. We had, you know, judges over here. Okay, now tally up the scores. While you guys tally up the scores, let's start judging these qualifying over for the tandem guys. And then after qualifying tandem, we got to go over the competition for the salt. And it was just back and forth. And had to adjust the schedule. Unfortunately, we had Giacomo just totaled his car, unfortunately.
Well, before you move on to that,
okay,
because that's also another big topic. Didn't you guys get a lot of criticism for having two layouts?
Oh, at first, yeah. Oh. At yeah, first, like, we're thinking about doing two tracks. Like, what do you guys think? No, man, that'd be stupid. We just want one big fast track. And we're like, well, we really have the room. And, like, we went to the track. We've had you come to the track. We did our test day. And then we're looking about it. We're like, there's no way in the world if we do one big track that anybody would be able to do it.
Right.
You know? It's,
not only that is, you want to run a solo comp, and it's... Let's face it. There's guys out there that are going to enter solo comp, and... You know, you could say we're babysitting. If you want to say you're if you want to say you're babysitting, that's fine. But in all reality, there are people that shouldn't. You're wasting other drivers' time by separating the tracks, making it a beginner, an advanced, or intermediate and advanced, whatever you want to call it. It's gonna give the drivers more seat time, is what they need. If our focus is, even though we're doing a competition and we got over 3,000 spectators on this one, and it's getting bigger. I know the next one's gonna be bigger because. Just the feedback from the vendors that didn't come that heard about it. And even today I was talking to somebody when I was picking up tires and the guy was like, oh, dude, you know, we heard about it, but we didn't really know what's going on with it. But next time, dude, I got a car club. We got like 30 guys that would come out there and they're all stanced out, blah, blah. So the word is spreading for the people that missed it not to miss the next one. So I can only imagine how many spectators did Formula D have at PBR in 2011?
2012 last year they pulled 6,000,
but I know that there was a number, and I remember they're saying that they doubled their number from the year before.
So 3,000.
Yeah, so if on our second event
we pulled as much as they've been doing for 9 years.
Exactly. That has a lot to say, and we don't even have the pro driver. It's like we don't have the drivers to bring the clout. We don't have the sponsors that make this thing. So we've accomplished a lot.
Yeah, well, the key is letting the general public know about it.
Which you're good at.
Yeah, well, I just keep on beating everybody to death until they start sharing it. And, you know, if you're my friend on Facebook, I'm sorry, but, you know, keep going.
Yeah, that got a little irritating.
It gets irritating, but it works. It does work, you know.
People forget
about it, you know.
I was about to click on the little icon on the right, then select spam post to report as spam.
You would never do that.
But getting back on topic, as far as the two tracks, it worked out great. Everybody got a ton of seat time, and I definitely want to do it the same way again. And I think next time we're even talking about incorporating some form of go-karts for the spectators to be able to
go-karts or maybe even autocross.
Right, maybe even autocross. We'll see. Yeah. We're going to see how that works. But we're really engaging the spectators. We want them to have a lot to do so they're not just sitting there only watching drifting the whole time. The car show, I heard people, I think Zach Hughes was like, was it a NeuroTag? Well, it wasn't supposed to be a NeuroTag.
Yeah, if you were like actually at NeuroTag, in reality, you were sitting in a hot parking garage with a lot of fumes everywhere. And, like, the cars were, like, nothing special.
Right, exactly.
Even Formula D's car show isn't a New York.
Oh, that's horrible. That's not even a car show.
So why – I don't know why Zach Hughes would say, it wasn't a NeuroTag.
He was mad because he got his ass kicked in the go-karts the night before.
Is that why?
That's exactly why.
do you want to talk about that now, or do you want to wait a little bit?
Yeah, we could talk about that, but, you know, did NeuroTag give Zach Hughes a golf cart to drive around in? Because I saw him driving one in.
I have no idea.
Talk about the good things. Talk about the things you liked, you know? It's like there was so much positive things about this
carousel
event.
Goes around.
No, I spoke to Zach Hughes, and he did have a couple of positive things to say, but obviously he may have been telling you some of the negatives because he wants you to improve upon it.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Yeah. Well, I'm down for the constructive criticism. I like hearing it. A couple of them I've heard was like, the food truck rally wasn't up to expectations.
Well, you know what? We did contact a lot. We did,
but I mean, three food trucks, I mean, like, that's three food trucks is... It's decent, you know? I mean, like, if not, we could have just not had food trucks, had the stadium come in and charge $12 for a hot dog.
Right, exactly.
But by the way, they were charging $4 for drinks, right?
They were, but there's nothing we can really do about it.
No, I'm just saying. But the next just to time, give an example.
Bring a cooler.
Yeah, bring a cooler, exactly. But the next time...
Cooler.
We did talk with the stadium, and then we're going to work on something with the drinks next time because the stadium... The people that worked the Landshark Grill and the other whatever that was, the other grill or bar, really... didn't perform like they should have.
No. Well, so. The stadium wasn't expecting what happened.
Well, I don't think we were either.
The stadium
I wasn't expecting it.
Well, nobody really was expecting the scale what had happened.
That's the thing, because say if we would have had 1,200 people, those food trucks would have been enough.
No, yeah, probably fine.
We got 3,200?
3,240 is what we estimated so far.
Right. So that's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people.
So, but now those food trucks, I'm going to tell their buddies, so we'll have six food trucks maybe next time.
Yeah, I think six will be all we really need. You know, we want to be able, you know, the food trucks need to be able to make a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
Keep everybody, you know.
Busy. Right. And then the hobby store was.
The hobby store sold out that whole trailer from what I heard.
Yeah.
So the hobby store did really good. Extreme. You know, wants to come back and do like pretty much whatever we'll let them.
Okay, so they had a good time then.
That was good. Light Body Racing was another good vendor. I guess he was actually selling drinks when he wasn't supposed to, but
whatever.
You know, that's between him and the stadium.
What are the vendors we had? We had DT Performance.
We had DT Performance. He had a good time. He brought in a lot of wheels and some nice booth.
We had the car cleaning guys. Did they sell?
We had Nature's Green. Yeah, they did pretty good. I talked to him this morning. They did pretty good.
Didn't they ruin the driveway of Paul one time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my brother said, oh, yeah, that stuff ruined my driveway, but whatever.
Nature's Green?
Yeah, it's still shiny. In that one spot.
Well, that's the point.
Is he washing the driveway with it?
Yeah, well, it's like looks stained, but it's just...
It's just clear. He should do the rest of the driveway then.
That's a good point.
So, but what are the other...
They did really good. They liked it. What else? Who else do we have? Try not to get anybody... My Culture. My Culture did awesome.
Yeah, you know, did they sell shirts and stuff?
Yeah, they sold whatever. Jake came in today, and you know,
they had a Kevin Phillips
car. Happy with it
on the booth.
Yeah,
of the My Culture.
Yes. Wait, KP had his car at the USDC?
It was at the car show.
I thought he said he was.
He won't be driving. Loophole.
You know? Loophole.
Yep. He wasn't driving. He was driving there, but he parked it.
So I did see him there.
From what I hear, he wasn't too particularly fond of some of the comments that were made at the last podcast.
No.
By Chris Jackson.
Everybody else said something too, but you know, I'll get it again. So, you know.
Yeah. Is this something you want to address now, Jackson? Is there something
No, I didn't say
on?
Anything. I don't know why I'm the only one who gets in trouble for nothing, but I just said we'll be nice. And I kept it at that, and I'm just keeping it at that again.
Okay. So you're just saying the same thing.
Yeah, so I'll get yelled at again. Good job, Tim.
Oh, hey, that's what I'm here for. Get you in trouble.
Oh, God.
Okay, so...
Wait, hold on. I'm not done. I still got a couple more.
Oh, gosh.
Well, if we're going to mention some of them, we have to do them all.
Rough Racing. Palm Beach Force,
you know, that's Omar Harrison. That was a good one. Rough Racing brought out...
What did Harrison bring?
Himself.
Oh, okay.
Which is enough. Way more than enough.
Yeah. anything less would be uncivilized.
No, Harrison's good. Harrison, you know, he pitches it when we need it and, you know, talks when we need him to.
Talks when we don't need him to.
Exactly.
Yes. Who organized the car show?
Felix from Bragging Rights. That's Bragging another one that I talk. Bragging Rights is awesome. They had awesome videos.
They handled the car show pretty well as far as the organization aspect and the judging, right?
Yeah, I didn't see any problems at him at all. You know, he had one guy that stood at the gate all day long to, you know, help with the tickets and all that.
I liked he didn't have to worry about it.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I wanted. On the other hand, if we looked over at the rap hip-hop stage, I guess you call it, the secondary stage.
The showcase.
Yeah, they had probably about... six or seven, maybe eight guys that were really decent that you could stand. A lot of them were, you know, still working on it. But, I mean, it's grassroots events. We have, like, you know, our mediocre drivers, too, so I see where that comes from.
Mm-hmm. Well, were you trying to be, like, the Simon Cowell of the rap industry? You were judging the rappers that were on the stage?
Like, when you hear them, you're just
garbage.
Like, some of them, you just want to be like, let's quit, bro. Like, get into something else. Like, it's just not working for you. I think you can see that with some of the solo drivers too, but you don't want to be. But you don't want to be mean, so you keep it to yourself.
Yeah, well, apparently not now.
Some of them we do tell them. We're like, listen, this is not for you. Like,
yeah,
buy a drag car,
try something else. Yes. Get on Xbox. It's a lot cheaper. Get an RC car. You can hang.
RC cars are not cheaper though. That's the bad part. Those things are expensive.
Yeah. Well, that's another Maniac. That was another
Maniacs did really good. We said Maniacs.
I saw they had a video out for the whole RC car thing. It was kind of funny because the video starts and they have all the cars like in line. They're all trying to drive around the track at the same time, and it's just not happening. But they have some pretty sick.
We don't have a flyer here, so I can lose my flyer.
Or the shirt, the staff shirt.
The staff shirt.
Which, again, this is the second event where I don't get a staff shirt.
Well,
FYI.
I'm very sorry. We had 50 shirts, and I told everybody to come grab one. and that's what happened.
Okay.
My mom went on her own adventure to try to make search this time.
That didn't work out.
Yeah, your mom got a little creative. And yeah. She decided to...
She was on the right track, but she pulled away. I told her, like, leave the date, put the Sun Life logo. Like, people want to buy, like, a souvenir to, like, remember that day of epicness. But She wanted to make it plain and boring so that she can sell them whatever she wants. And now I have a whole bunch of shop rags.
A whole bunch of shop rags. Not just a
couple. But that's because I hate doing laundry, so...
Yeah, well, there you go.
It works out good for me.
So any other sponsors?
Michelle Diane Designs did an awesome job on our flyers and our t-shirts and my mom's t-shirts, I guess you could say.
Extreme Indoor Karting. They were a big sponsor.
Yeah, we said that.
You mentioned that
five
already.
Times. Extreme Indoor Karting came out, had a good time. Yeah. We'll break down that in a second when we get to our kickoff party that some people attended.
Yes.
But Michelle, big up to Michelle. Steve-O also from doing the...
Yes, Steve-O, we had come down from Orlando, helped us out with the downswing. He does a great job with that.
Definitely, for sure.
Yes, and there's rumor that he might possibly relocate down here.
Who else do we have?
That'd be definitely be interesting.
Yeah, Jeff,
you're still talking. We're talking about something else. Hold on a second.
Pause, Jackson, pause.
Hold that thought. I know you're trying
to... take a sip.
There's no more left. Yes. We're out of
there's
beer.
No more?
You're officially out of beer, yes.
I can get you another one.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
All right. Go ahead, quick.
Okay. Well, anyways, so what I was talking about, Steve-O, I think he has a job now where he might be able to relocate. He had a good time. I mean, he had a really good time.
Yeah, he came down.
How do you not
have a good hard?
Or a good time?
What happened?
How do you not have a good time in South Florida? Coming from Orlando? I mean.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have said that.
Why?
Because they got Disney World.
So? You go to Disney so much. You ever been to Disney, you ever been to Orlando and like not been to Disney World or like Islands of Adventure and had a good time?
Yeah, I went to PRI.
Was that an awesome time? No, not
that
really.
That was a pretty awesome time.
Well, maybe, for your first year, I guess. But
maybe because I was with Chris Jackson and that made it awesome.
Yeah, that's true. Why. Maybe.
It was awesome. A money pit every year I go there.
No, but if Steve-O were to come down, I mean, that'd be great. He's a valuable asset in my opinion and for him to be able to...
I think you're just trying to get out of the announcing thing.
Huh?
Every event, less and less you announce. even to the point that I do the announcing every once in a while.
It's because when I see that there's something that I think needs attention, like I definitely put myself into it.
Yes.
And since I knew that Harrison was there and Steve-O, it's like...
Yeah, might as well put yourself more important.
Exactly.
Yeah, makes sense.
You know, oftentimes, like when I was helping out the judges making out the brackets and so forth, Steve-O and Harrison were out there announcing it and doing their things. Steve-O, for the most part, was really doing most of the announcing, and I think for the most part, everybody agrees he did a pretty good job. And
yes, sir.
Heck, if he were to come down here and do announcing, then I could put myself into other things that, like, for instance, I could help Tim out even more so that way he doesn't be having to struggle so much.
Yeah.
It's not, well, it's not like he's struggling so much as it is, but every help counts.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like with this one, I needed help with the bracket because we only had a top 12. So I had to have Ben, you got to handle this bracket thing, because I was trying to make it and my eyes were going cross-eyed. I'm like, I can't even think about this right now because there's all this other getting the judges and the driver's meetings all set up.
And everybody's like, Tim.
Yeah. And well, they were like, Chris,
yeah,
right?
I know. I'm like, everybody, you got to calm down.
There's priority. Like, I don't need Rhea telling me. Yeah. There's 3 number 7 cars.
Yeah.
That's really not a priority right now.
So one's a 1 and one's a 7.
Yeah, one's a 1, one's a 7, and the other one's 7 from the solo class trying out the tandem track.
So. That was Jerry then.
Right.
That was
but
Jerry.
I mean, it's like, oh, there's 3 number 7s. We got to fix right now. That's not a necessity right now. We got
exactly.
Yeah, I had random people coming up to me, like they were asking me questions that like I had the answers to.
Or it's like oh, there's a 1 foot gap on one of the fences. Okay.
No, I actually had I forgot how many people asked me for the banner that goes on the windshield. Like I had a bunch of the solo guys ask me for the banner, and I'm like, oh, I don't know.
That's 'cause they were supposed to get them.
Well, when I talked to you, I could have sworn
I don't remember this at all.
I said, Chris, only the tandem guys getting the banners? And you're like, yeah. I was like, okay.
Yeah, that's probably like, yeah, it's a big
thing. That's, well, there you go.
Exactly. It was one of those, but
yeah.
It was not that important. I should have paid more attention on time.
Actually, James has all the banners in his truck.
No, they're in the shop now.
Oh, they're in the shop because the wind was blowing them everywhere.
I've been giving away to random people.
Oh, save me one. I want one. Don't give it all of them.
Give you one.
Well, anywho, so yeah, I had people like ask me, like, I don't know, and they had
a couple people did want to put them on. Ryan Kaufman didn't want to put his on. Bill Fisher didn't want to put his on.
Yeah, they should have, though. But next time they're going to put them on.
Next time I won't let him go down the track unless it's on the car.
It's not tech. It's, you know, it's got to be – that's their final tech. You know, that's on the tech sheet.
Right.
So. All
right.
Let's actually backtrack.
Wait. Let's go back to that because we're getting sidetracked.
Sponsors, yeah.
Oh, there's still more?
Yeah.
Good Lord. How many sponsors do you have this event?
We had to do some up. We had HQ Auto Body, which didn't actually be able to make it because of family problems, but he actually sponsored the event and everything. He does the body work, and he's in Pompano.
Okay.
Sample Road or Deerfield, maybe. Mm-hmm. Sample and Powerline. Well, Jeff Sessions was a good one. The other Steve-O. Also, he ran the Jack's Performance booth because I couldn't. So.
Oh, right.
He did that one. Just trying to mentally walk around.
Yeah, I was like, well, you're doing a lot of walking because I don't hear anything.
Mentally walking around and figuring it out. DJ Needles, you know
he was we had the band was
one.
Good.
Pegasus the band. Squeak was good on the other.
Squeak was good, but he still has my extension cord and he has my 5/16.
And somebody has a radio of mine, if anybody has one of those. And a tripod, Chris Green,
VF Media.
You know, that's another awesome one. I don't know how we almost forgot him.
Chairs, we had a lot of media.
Chairs Culture. Yes. They were out there.
Oh, yeah. We had Modified out there. We had Modified. Nice ones.
The CEO of Modified Magazine was out there with this car.
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yes.
You
serious. Go on YouTube. YouTube the hell out of it.
Wow.
Yeah, he has a Civic that has a bejesus amounts of bass.
Yeah. There's actually one video of, like, some girls, like, hair floating in midair.
Oh, really?
If that makes any sense at all.
Oh.
I've seen that before, but it wasn't in a car.
Oh.
It was in a pool. Anyways.
Oh, Tim, you. Oh, Tim.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Sweet Motion Films was there, too.
Did he film, though?
I don't think he filmed much. But
I don't know.
I was
hoping to see a Street Legal video, because I love their videos.
He was there. Yeah.
Yeah, they were there.
Yeah.
They were there.
The VF Media.
Yeah, there was a lot. There was...
SFO Auto Events was there, too.
Yeah, SFO Auto Events was there. It was good. Definitely more media than the first
Rick's Picks. Another media guy, he took some good pictures, and we got those.
Bottom line, there's
a whole bunch of them. Yeah, I mean, I can think about them all.
You should have came more prepared. Would have been smart of you to have a list of
you
all
know, I'm like, I planned so much of it beforehand that, like, after the fact, you know, we got to start thinking about the next one, so. Mm-hmm. You know,
oh, okay.
It's in the past, man. It's in the past.
Yeah. All right, so you're just looking forward.
Yeah, we're looking forward.
Okay, so let's go back to the kickoff party. We'll talk about that.
Yeah. So, what we did this event was a little bit different than pretty much most events. We had a little kickoff party at Extreme Intercarding, one of our sponsors. And we pretty much gave all our drivers and staff guys a free race. They went out for 8 minutes and put down the best time they could. And then we took the top 15 and
Which
we went out
good
for
enough.
A 20 minute. What?
Which just wasn't good enough, but go ahead.
So... Yeah, so we went out and did our top our 20-lap race according to who was the top 15. And, you know, some people took advantage of the 2-for-1 drinks at the bar and didn't really want to race, so that was fine also.
How many pre-registered drivers came out?
How many drivers did we have? Between staff and sponsors and drivers, I think we had about 35 guys.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah. So we had a decent amount there at the kickoff party. It was fun. We had a lot of guys that had something to prove, and, you know, like, they did not show any mercy on the track.
What exactly – okay, let's take us through this. Okay, we have the qualifying. So what happens in the qualifying?
Pretty much the qualifying, everybody's kind of just hanging out. Whenever they got a chance to go to the track and do their qualifying race, they can do it with the general public.
In the standings-wise, who's the top in the standings for qualifying?
Top of the standing was Zach Hughes, and he was super fast. And then
he had the fastest time out of all of us.
Okay.
Like
by far.
Almost untouchable.
But we did find out that later on in the day that he goes there all the time and he knows what carts are fast.
Yeah, apparently he's won like 2 championships there.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's why he was upset. So anyway, now we go, we got the top 16.
It was like,
hold on. But Zach Hughes had something to prove. Also, Steve-O, who does karting up in Orlando, he had something to prove too.
Yes.
And he was making comments like, oh, you guys better bring your A game because I'm bringing it.
Yes. The same with Chris Green. Chris Green would not stop.
Oh, yeah, that too.
He talked to every time I saw him. He's like, oh, man, I'm going to kick your ass in these go-karts. He's like, really? But, so, Yeah, we had I think I qualified fifth out of everybody.
Did you crash?
No, never.
This is like one of the first events in a long time you haven't crashed.
Tim, come on now. Tim.
It's a little retribution there.
Harsh words, God. Tim. Wow. We don't have to see this.
I can't attack
it.
Toyota.
So, yeah, who wants help tomorrow on their
shed? Calm down.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so we did that. Then we go on to our main race.
Yeah.
And I'll just say this from my experience. No. And, the worst driver in SFL, supposedly.
Well,
right?
We're voted.
Oh, no, voted worst driver.
Voted. Well, they mean I can't vote for everybody a million times. So
you were looking for a retribution.
So, yeah. So, I mean, I was allowed to get it because I've been doing, like, running the events and stuff. So, I've been in the middle of drive. Yeah, so, you know, definitely. I lost my street cred. So I had to show what was up.
Street cred.
I took it personal. I was like, you know, all these guys are always talking shit. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to.
Wouldn't it be drift cred? Instead of
street cred. It's street cred.
The same thing.
The word on the street.
Yeah.
It's the word on the street.
Or track cred?
No, because those words.
Okay, well, so whatever. Out the gate, you know, Zach Hughes was the pole. He was on the pole, you know, with no orientation. Or mm-hmm. I forgot the thing for Ricky Bobby. It would have been funny if I remembered the.
I would have. Oh, you didn't.
So yeah, okay. I forgot.
Move along.
All right, so Zach Hughes just takes off the gate. I believe you were behind me, Ben.
I don't know. I was somewhere in the middle of the pack.
Somewhere in the middle, which was, I think, either right behind me or right behind the guy that was behind me.
Or Benny, were you on the left side? On the starting grid?
Yeah. Yes.
Then, yeah, I think I was, like, right next.
Yeah. So, I go out, and I'm probably three cars back from Zach, who was in first.
And how many laps is this?
20 laps.
20 laps, okay.
Which is like, and people are like, 20 laps. Or like, even when people rough. Say 8 minutes. 8 minutes is a rough time on one of those carts. If you're driving them right.
Your hands get freaking.
Yeah, exactly.
Hurt, yeah.
So, go ahead. Like around turn two, I come in and Chris Green gets a little swirly and I get tapped from the back, which is why I was asking this Ben. And Chris Green gets tapped and Chris Green couldn't handle it and went out.
he left or he spun out?
He spun out, like face to face. I mean, like I go around the next turn, I see him like give me this look, like dude, that's not cool. Like yeah, it wasn't me. Like you know, like somebody hit me, so it was like a chain reaction.
No, he spins out. Chris Green spins out and lands in the middle of the track, like literally in the middle of the track. So I'm there, like a couple of cars back from Jackson. And I see everybody like going around, scrambling to go around. I'm like, what's going? Next thing out of nowhere, I see Chris Green in front of me. He's looking at me like with his hands like towards me. He's like, stop, stop. I'm like, no. And I just, boom, I hit him and I'm basically stuck there while everybody else just goes around me. And I ended up in last place because of Chris Green. Thanks, Chris.
So it seems like and I've been on the track before, is whoever spins out first is.
You're done. Yeah, right, you're don't done. Come back from that.
So, yeah. Okay, so walk us through. So now it's just you and Zach Hughes.
No, so me, there's a couple guys in between me and Zach Hughes. So we're going around the track and going around, and I eventually passed those two guys. And then it was pretty much Zach Hughes had a mile on me, and then everybody else kind of in the back. And like, we still haven't overlapped anybody yet. Everybody was still pretty tight group. I think it was only like probably like 2 seconds in between the first guy and the mm-hmm. last guy, but not including Zach Hughes because he was like a whole second ahead of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So
how did you catch up?
I was supposedly just catching them a little bit every lap. And I guess
reeling them in.
Yeah, just reeling them in. And then eventually, like, I guess if it was like a 30-lap race, I would have caught them. But I guess this is a 20-lap race. I wasn't really supposed to catch him. So since he was there all the time, you know, he knew the guy that was controlling the car. So the guy did slow him down a little bit so I'd catch him.
so he slowed him down?
Just a little bit, not a lot.
Oh, well, yes, apparently enough.
But I was consistently catching him that if there was enough laps, I would have passed him.
Yeah, but we're talking about variables, so you cheated.
Hey, if you're not first or last, I didn't cheat. I didn't even know the guy was doing it. It just happened.
Oh, wow. Oh, man.
I passed him on the last lap. And
wow. Man. So he was upset, huh?
No, not really.
I heard you guys fought after.
Zach Hughes wasn't too
good. He took it pretty
good.
I mean, like, he wins all the time.
I heard he keyed your car.
No, I did.
No, really?
He did. But, and then, so we raced, and then, like, you know, I think a couple people had some drinks, and it was time to leave, and my car was parked inside Extreme, so we had to work on getting my car out of there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys showed up at the track at 1:30.
Yeah. It took a little while to get the cars out and that final race done.
Nice, nice. Well, you know, it seemed like it went well. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to make it.
Yeah, it was a great idea, you know. Too bad you missed it.
Well, I mean, somebody planned it on the same day as my brother's wedding.
So?
So, you know, he likes to plan things.
Yeah. So, let's go.
Inconvenient for other people.
Yeah, I thought it was a great day.
Yeah, of course you did.
Yeah.
It was actually a great day. My brother's wedding went awesome.
Yeah, and you got, like, good food and stuff. I mean, I'd rather do that and get, like, all that food, but...
Well, anyways.
So let's go back to the main event, and let's go talk about, focus back on the drifting aspect of the event. What do you think about the driving in regards to the solo guys, how they did, and to the tandem guys, how they did?
I think we could have had... Unfortunately, some of the solo drivers, well, there's one solo driver that would have passed tech in the tandem class but decided not to drive the tandem class. Mm-hmm. Jerry Montero really should have been over to the tandem side. Mm-hmm. But I understand because of the way his car is set up, he doesn't want to get hit or anything. But there were definitely a good handful of the solo drivers that I wish had cages and would have been in a tandem side. I think would have made it more interesting on the tandem side. Mm-hmm. We just had a lot of lack of drivers, I think, was the biggest thing. But we did have Harry came out, but he didn't compete. Which
Harry Terbola.
Yeah, he didn't compete.
Doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, you know.
He wanted to get the car, like, he wanted to do a shakedown run. Because
he shook it. He looked like he shook it down enough. From what I saw, he was shaking it pretty good.
If he shook it anymore, it'd have been dead.
Because I think he's shipping out the car like in a couple of days or not. And that's actually the first event he did with the supercharger on it.
Yeah.
Right. So, but anyways, going back to your question, but unfortunately, you know, they didn't have the cages. They didn't have the tech requirements to be in the tandem. Not necessarily that they didn't have the skill, but it was more their car holding them back. But on the solo side, if you go through it was... Actually, I was kind of surprised the winners. Watching the practice, I really thought Kyle was going to take it. Kyle, which we haven't seen in a while, anybody that knows him from back in the day, was clean 555.
Yeah.
He had one of the cleanest S14s.
Silver Moss, if I recall correctly.
Right, with the little kid holding the grenade or the rocket launcher on his shoulder.
Kadoosh.
A very, very good driver.
Yeah.
He brought out his new, it's a baby blue S13.
S13 hatch.
Yeah, it's very nice.
So, one guy characterized the car as Formula Drift ready. The only thing missing is the cage. Rather than that, it would be a Formula Drift ready car.
And he was on point. He was hitting the clips all day. When he came down for qualifying, he qualified number one.
Uh-huh.
But he spun when the solos, we do a tandem style judging where you have two cars, one car goes out, next car goes out, and whoever has the better run advances. Mm-hmm. So it moves pretty quickly, and it's faster paced. It's cool, and the spectators seem to love it too.
Yeah,
but we ended up getting the first place was Andrew Bowman. Second place was Abraham Rivera.
In his first round, though, I didn't even watch it. His first round, he got knocked out by last place because he spoke.
Yes, exactly.
Oh man.
Yeah, because the way the bracket works, exactly.
That's not cool.
And
wow.
I think Adam was last place. Yeah, Adam won against him. Yeah. So
I
didn't
qualify.
Yeah. Well, so are we. But so Kyle got taken out, which he was a favorite. Jerry Warren got taken out.
Jerry Warren, what's doing there?
I mean, Jerry Montero.
It's crazy because
I was confused. Like, what? What was the third just super there? I don't remember that.
Well, so anyways, Jerry Montero got taken out.
Yeah.
He came to a stall on the last clip. He didn't spin, but he came to a dead stop.
Uh-huh.
So anyways, first place was Andrew Bowman. Second place was Abraham Rivera. And then Gabe Morales brought up third. But it wasn't who we were expecting. We thought definitely JJ was going to do better. Yeah. We thought Doug Castro would do a lot better. Unfortunately, he got taken out.
That's what I heard. I heard that the pressure gets the solo guys a lot more than tandem guys.
Really?
Which is somebody stated that the solo guys just can't take the pressure of being in the competition because there's really no competition for them.
And that's what's good about the USDC, the US Drift Circuit that we do. We give the solo guys a taste of competition pressure to get them prepared when they do go tandem.
It's a stepping stone for them.
You don't want to make those mistakes when you're in the tandem.
No.
So anyway, so now we're going over to the tandem track. The drivers, for the most part, were doing pretty good, but the higher speeds equaled bigger gaps, especially on entry with the tandems. I know a lot of the guys like Ryan Kaufman and Bert Abalos were entering way too early. So that was throwing them off. So they would enter and they would almost straighten out and then get back in the drift again. They really, I guess they were just trying to see what they could do, because we had that on entry, we had this bump that from the spectator's view didn't really look so drastic. But when you're back on from running the start line, these cars look like they almost come off the ground. And if you listen to their motors, sometimes you can hear the motors once they go over the bump, whine out like they hit rev limit going over.
Oh yeah, like I felt it riding along with Dayron's car. Mm-hmm. Like I felt it. He was like full throttle, first, second, third gear down the straight and going over the bump. Like I felt like the rear end wiggle a little bit.
Right. Dayron had consistent 70 mile an hour entries all day. The fastest we had was
Mensa 71.
Andrew Mensa was 71.
Uh-huh.
The thing from what I didn't get to go around the track, so maybe you can verify this with me. It seemed to me that the best way to initiate is as soon as you go over that bump, as soon as your car lowers, squats down to enter there. Like you go over the bump, the car comes up, and then it comes down, and then enter.
In my opinion, it's definitely anywhere after the bump. Anywhere right. before the bump, you're really pushing it.
Oh, yeah, you're just asking for trouble.
Yeah. No, not necessarily asking for trouble, but
you're not going to be able to get to the track, and you're going to take too much speed off.
Yeah, that, and you'll definitely be hugging the tire line or tire rings or whatever the heck you want to call it.
Inside line.
But if you really want to go and extend it out and take the outside of the track, then definitely initiate after the bump, in my opinion. And I think a lot of people weren't realizing is that if they would have gone a little bit more on the outside of the track, it wouldn't have been so bumpy, the sweeper.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I definitely realized that when I was testing out the track, where as I stayed a little bit to the far to the outside, and it wasn't so bumpy as me being on the inside of the sweeper on the first turn. So, in my opinion, definitely anywhere after that bump.
Right.
Because I heard some people, they were using the bump to help them initiate.
But you need to be on, your car needs to be back full weight on the ground before you initiate.
Yeah. But apparently it didn't work out for Giacomo.
Giacomo.
There's just so many ways to say it, I guess.
Not really. It's only one way, but whatever.
I guess. That's up for debate. In any case, apparently, here's the crazy part. I actually picked up some people in the cart, and I went down the track, and I was like, oh, you know, let's check out some of the drifting. And as soon as I park, I see Giacomo going down the straight. And I'm like, oh, look, and goes straight into the K-rail.
Yeah.
And from what some of the guys were telling me is apparently he tried to utilize the bump to sort of help him initiate. And when he sort of fainted, he tried to do a faint entry. And the bump actually just disrupted the car in a manner that he wasn't expecting it to. And instead of it going sideways, it actually caught grip and then it went straight into the K-rail.
Yeah, but it looked like he tried to faint on the bump.
Yeah, that's the thing.
The thing is, if you think about it, if you're gonna go up and you're gonna faint on the bump, it's gonna throw you harder sideways. You're gonna have less. So it didn't throw him straight. It just threw him too much of a faint that he couldn't bring it back the other way, and he locked up.
Maybe so.
That's what it looked like from my point of view. It looks like he fainted it this way, and it rotated more than what he was expecting. Mm. So he didn't have the time. Once he landed, now he's got traction. To wing it back the other way, it was just there's just no way it was going to happen. If he didn't hit the front, he would hit the back.
Yeah, and he was definitely flying.
Right.
Like from what I heard, also since he was struggling a couple of runs before, was he felt that he wasn't going in with enough speed. So he felt that in that run, he has to go a lot faster than before in order to be able to achieve what he was trying to do, which was obviously, you know, figure out the entry. Mm-hmm. And that's why he went with such a fast impact that it really moved the K-Row like a ton of feet. Like how 20,
like
how
20
fast?
Something feet at least.
Yeah.
Until that fence.
Yeah.
The fence that you were trying to protect.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was definitely a very sad sight to see, especially from my point of view and for a lot of people's views too. Considering the fact that he's had that car for about 9 years, from what I hear.
Yeah.
And,
9 years,
and,
man.
I mean, you remember the car going...
That's about 7 that gets old.
Huh?
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
About 7 it gets old.
Yeah, well, see, the thing is with that car, he was one of the first cars out there to test County Line before we started doing drifting.
Oh, definitely.
He did the first test at County Line.
Definitely, at the skid pad, right?
No, he did both. We did a skid pad, and he was there when they tested the big track, too.
Oh, okay.
Because remember, before I knew all you guys, I did that whole thing online. I was like, we got to try this out.
Yeah.
And I set up the meeting, and then it worked out that I set up a second meeting, and then we all came to the track, and then came down on Saturday, and the rest is history.
Yeah. So.
But that was definitely, I guess, a low point in the event. It happens.
Yeah.
Right, Chris?
Yeah. I mean, well, he takes it a little harder than I do.
He took it,
you know, yeah.
He definitely went up to you in that one.
I put my car in a call. Whatever. It happens. I could care less.
Yeah. No, it happens.
I think what's a little bit more frustrating is the fact that since those vehicles, the Toyota Corollas, since they're becoming a rare item, it's not so easy for you to get two cars, weld them together,
and
call it a race car.
Oh, and it's just him and his dad. You know, him and his dad, you know, they gotta put time into it. Me, I make a couple phone calls. I'll have a whole bunch of friends at the shop ready to go.
And
4 days later, we can build a full race car in 4 days now, no problem.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
No sleep, but 4 days will help.
I still do everything pretty much by myself.
Yeah.
You should get some friends.
I have friends. But I can't trust their work.
Afterwards, we obviously it took some time to clean up the mess, and we took out the K-rails from there, and it seemed to help out a lot of people there.
Yes.
Unfortunately, though, some people took it upon themselves to actually initiate a lot more aggressive than they were before.
Which was good. They made it for a better event.
No, I know, but there was, a couple of close calls. I think Andrew Mensa almost grazed the fence, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
I didn't hear about this until now.
Yeah.
Oh, are you serious?
No one told me no one's grazed the fence. Oh, they'd be nowhere near the fence. Don't worry.
Well,
it never happened.
Everybody else, he was the only one. Oh. But Andrew Mensa runs, he is balls to the wall.
Yeah,
but he needs to focus his energy a little more. He was all over the track. He was off the track all points.
Yeah.
So everybody else was way away from the fence. Nobody else was even coming close to the fence, but Andrew felt the need to try to tap the fence.
Yeah.
But there was no damage done. There was more damage done by the K-rails, so Mike.
Yeah. I think next time, if you want, just have
them.
No, not
you can
even
run them alongside the fence.
Yeah, alongside the fence, but even then, like, that first K-rail is going to be, like, a target. Like, that'll cause damage.
Yeah, but, I mean, tapping a K-rail with the back of your bumper is one thing. As long as it's running parallel with the fence, we'll be fine.
True.
So, but anyhow, the tandem guys, we didn't have as many drivers as we had liked.
Well, we did miss out. Jason Guild missed out.
Missed out. ST's fuel pump went out on the way.
And there was three of them at the track, like, waiting for him.
Yeah. I heard about that.
Well, like Juan said he had one, Chris Castor had one, and Alan had one. Like, all just, like, brand new in the box, like, waiting for, like, anybody to meet him about it.
Yeah. Well, what can you do? And then Fink blew another motor.
No. He blew a head gasket.
That's a blown motor or whatever.
Because apparently...
What's the definition of a blown motor? To me, a blown head gasket, you blew the motor.
No.
Well, it's blown, right?
A blown motor, in my opinion, it's like a rod or a piston going off the side of the
motor. No, because what if you spin a bearing? That's a blown motor.
Yeah.
But a head gasket's easy. You just replace it. It still runs?
No, not really.
No. Even if you replace the head gasket, it'll still run, right?
No, technically, like
take
it
off.
Matters how it blows. Like, you ever see, like, a good blown head gasket? Like, the one that oxygen gets introduced into the combustion chamber, like, extremely quickly? It's kind of like a plasma torch. It creates plasma.
Spatter all over the head and the mouth and stuff. You got to get the head all redone. Like,
Well, then I stand corrected.
If you blow it the right way,
It's
not just as easy as just changing the head.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But if you want to avoid any such issues, potential issues, just use a Toyota motor and you should be good.
Yes.
Or BMW.
No.
What are you talking about? What?
Dude. Okay.
Well, I don't know. How many blown motor have BMW motor sucker?
Oh man.
Well, technically, you blew your motor because you had to take it apart.
I was just getting blow by.
So
I could have kept.
You took
running.
It apart. You blew your motor.
So you take a motor apart that could have blown.
I'm just going by
It didn't stop me from driving an event. I drove.
It did. You're no, not driving. You call Where's your car?
You call that driving?
I'm doing a stroker. I'm making the motor bigger. I'm making it better.
Oh, Timmy.
Yeah. Wait.
I made 330 horsepower on that motor.
How big is it
going to
be?
Huh?
How big is it going to be?
2.7.
Yeah. 2J's 3.0 stock.
That's fine. My motor's 1986.
Oh. 7M's are from 86.
Just what?
3 liters?
Yeah,
well, they had 3 liters.
My motor will smoke a 7M. It'll smoke a 7M. What are you talking about? 7M made 300 horsepower? No.
What is it?
No, they made 220.
Okay.
Not even. Actually, no, I think no. The first 1J, the non-turbo, made 220. The 7M made like 180 something.
1J's or 2.5 and made 280.
Yeah.
1J's?
Yeah,
1J. 280?
Yeah, they do. What do you mean they don't?
Yes, they
do. All day.
Made 270.
No, they didn't.
270. Yeah.
What's the matter?
He's not going to let you have that 10 horsepower.
Nope. No way.
Oh, boy. All
right, well, when it comes down to
you're being... comparing a turbo motor to a non-turbo motor.
Yeah, I know. You're comparing like shit to oranges. I know.
No.
Well, what happened was Fink was on the dyno. He was making like 385. But he really wanted that 400 horsepower. He really wanted to bring 400.
It's a KA. You cannot get greedy with
it. Yes, you can. Why not?
Because it blows.
No, it doesn't.
Apparently it does.
We did one 2 months ago, 535 at the wheels.
How often is that?
We can do it. Want to do it tomorrow? We'll bring it to the dyno tomorrow. You can see it for yourself.
Well, what's Fink's problem now?
Videos all...
hold on, guys. Come on.
No, I mean, like, his build's not as intense as that build.
Okay. Okay, so like I said, a KA, he said it was fully built.
No, KA isn't capable of it, but I mean, like, it matters what you build it with.
Well, of course
it does. If you build the motor for 400 horsepower, it'll make 400 horsepower. If you build the motor for 300
horsepower. Well, he did pistons, rods. He said it was fully built. So what else do you need to make a KA? You said he didn't do it in...
I mean, like, I guess there's a big difference between, like, Wiseco or Aries or, you know, the different...
Well, he blew the head gasket. What head gasket was he using?
I don't know.
There's a big debate on the KAs, too, about the Kometic or the Velpro gasket. Huge debate. If you ever go on any, like, KA form, like KT, there's a huge debate about the KA versus the Kometic.
You mean the Velpro versus the Kometic?
Oh, yeah, the Velpro, the Kometic gasket.
I heard it was a Velpro.
The Velpro is just a regular head gasket.
But it's supposedly better than the Kometic.
Really?
I heard it was a Velpro.
If you talk to the... But they're supposed to be better than Kometic if you talk to, like, the form people. But then they're internet mechanics. You can't trust those people anyway. But
anywho... So he raised the PSI, he broke 400, but in the process, he blew the head gasket. So that's why the car was on the trailer at the track and stayed there throughout the rest of the event.
Which is most of his life,
yeah.
That car's been on.
He said he was just leaving. He's like, oh, no, he's like, we're leaving. We're just coming in for a second. And then, like, they're there all day, and supposively they had delicious food that they didn't offer.
No, that was Carlos. Carlos was
grill master. He was a grill master. Awesome food.
Well, that's because of you.
I did get awesome food from Ken's Weenie Wagon, actually.
You got some weenies for you.
Good. I did get some weenie.
Weenie for the weenies.
It was a good weenie.
It really frustrated me, too, that we weren't able to attract so many drivers. Like, I actually expected a little bit more, or if not, how can I say this, better tandems or something.
Definitely, it didn't work out. We had a section. Okay, the second half of the track was designed to be a little slower to let these guys catch up to the lead car. And put on a good smoke show
right in front of the
and be closer,
right in
front of the audience and have a good close tandems. Unfortunately, the gaps, it seemed like these guys were afraid to enter on each other's door because even with the better guys like Ryan Kaufman and the only person that was really honestly pushing on entry was Harry.
Oh, yeah, but Harry pushes on everybody.
Right. That's what I'm saying. There was these guys were like playing cautious. And when you play cautious for the on the audience side, it's not as intense.
Good. But something that Harry has pointed out to me before, that something that really frustrates him when he's standing against somebody is when they don't necessarily follow the racing line.
Yeah.
And in doing so, it throws him off, and he doesn't want to be off. He wants to be right on them. Mm-hmm. So it just really aggravates him when they're not following the racing line.
So he's doing as a like like rage, road rage.
Yes.
Hey, you can say that.
He's like, you're taking the wrong line. Oh, I might get close to you. Ah. Does he try to hit him with a hammer or something?
Probably. I wouldn't doubt it. If he has a wrench or something in his car and just
a finish hammer?
Yeah, the finish hammer.
What's with the hammers? They have hammers over there?
They probably do, or sophisticated hammers. You know how the Finnish are. They like to be all technical and sophisticated.
Yes, you're right. So anyways, it went down pretty well. We ended up getting the winners were one, Haynau, took third.
Yeah.
Then we had...
Which was his first competition in 3 years.
First competition 3 years on that car, and it didn't seem like it had the best grip either.
Or the best amount of power.
Right. Well, it's Toyota powered. So... Anyways, so then we go to second place, and we had Eric
Loomis.
Eric Loomis got second.
From, like, the middle of nowhere. He lives in Palm Bay, which sounds like a retirement home.
No, it's near Melbourne.
Another retirement home.
Yeah.
No, maybe. It doesn't matter. But he did a great job.
Yeah.
And then took first place was...
Ryan Kaufman.
Ryan Kaufman took first.
From another BMW. Look at that.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, so Toyota VW, that one too.
Chevy powered. I'll give you that. Definitely give you that.
Yeah.
So
Chevy, Nissan, Toyota.
Luckily, we didn't have any major issues in regards to the tandem. The only incident was Andrew Mensah with Eric Coughlin, and what ended up happening was.
Yeah, I didn't get to see that.
Oh, you didn't get to see it.
That's the start line.
Yeah, no, that was just a little tap. That didn't look too bad.
No, it wasn't anything major. They were actually coming up to the first clippy point, the outside clippy point, and Eric Coughlin ended up spinning out. And since Andrew was really close to him, they ended up making contact. Yeah. Nothing major, but they made contact and caused some damage to Eric's fender, hood, and headlight.
You know, one thing I noticed about Andrew is I tried to put a stop on it, but he kept doing this. One thing I noticed about him is when I look at one person, I said, are you ready? And when I look at him, say he's ready, he starts moving forward before I say go.
Huh.
I had to stop him a couple times, like, let's stop, back up. He kept doing it. He's trying to get a roll, right. He kept trying to get a roll. It's like, I'm going to have to put a rule down next time. Listen, if you roll... Before I say go, I'll disqualify you.
Or we could implement like that pointed no return code.
No, but I mean, it's like, are you ready? I ask him first. He starts rolling. But by the time I ask this guy, his door is almost by me. I mean, he's like taking almost a half car head start. And he's got enough power. He doesn't need to do that.
He's got more than a lot of them.
Yeah. So I'm going to put my foot down on that next time. You start when I tell you to go. You don't roll until I do. So, but anyway, this Wednesday... You got a chance to interview some people about the event?
Yeah, I actually asked them for their feedback about it, what they thought, mm-hmm. pluses and minuses, and what they feel.
Who'd you talk to?
I spoke to a couple of people. Spoke to Mo, Shidiak, I think that's his name. No, I seriously think that's his name.
I think so, but honestly.
Whoa there. Jackson, you're right there.
I'll be fine. Oh,
good Lord.
Good Lord.
I have to edit that out later.
Fine.
Yeah, he was on point at his post.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Mo was awesome.
Jackson, you had some issues with
pit area. The problem is, like, we had a couple of drivers. We had one set of drivers trying to trade drivers, but they think that we didn't know, but we gave them different colored wristbands so we would know if they did that.
Yeah.
And they still tried doing it. And, so we had to put a stop to that. We also had people sneaking in the pits that got out that, you know, some people got yelled at and kicked out. And some people, you know, might have got lucky and stayed in. But, you know, we try to put a stop to it as much as we could.
It's hard to control 3,000 people. Really is.
Yeah, I mean, like, everybody tries to weasel their way in certain areas. Or
we try to weasel our way when we go to other events. Yes, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, yes.
We're the worst.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, I'm actually...
We're good at it. We don't get caught.
No, I don't. I'm actually going to buy a whole bunch of different colored wristbands to keep in my truck. I went to the flea market the other day, and like, I called somebody that was in there, and what color of spins they were using? And like red, but crap, I don't got that color.
Oh, man.
But yeah, don't get that idea. So, you know, just erase that everybody's memory. You know, don't think about that one.
Okay. Here's what Mo had to say when I interviewed him over about the event.
So we're talking to Mo now. Mo, what do you think of the event, the USDC event? The
event was really, really well organized. You know, drivers did really well. You know, we had a very good turnout. Car show was awesome. You know, it was really, really hot, you know. And I got to say that, you know, Chris Jackson and the guys at USDC did a great, great job. Fantastic event, well organized. And, you know, I'm definitely going to see it again.
Anything else you'd like to say, Mo?
I need some water. And I'm thirsty, and I really need some food. Please, someone help me.
Nobody cares. Okay, thank you, Mo, for your time.
Thank you.
Okay, so that was Mo.
And he was hungry, huh?
Yeah. Like, I felt bad for him, like, at the event, because I would pass by him a couple of times, and he'd be, like, all to himself, and he looked all depressed. And
one time, he's like, I need a drink. He's like, get me something. I forgot. He wanted, like, something specific. He's like, I want a soda. And I'm like, I went around, like, I got water. I got anything. And then, like, literally, like, 20 feet from him was this guy that had energy drinks at a booth. And I was like, Mo. Oh, this is awesome. Like, I just drove around the whole place looking for, like, a soda for you, and that was it. Because I wasn't buying it from Sun Life.
Yeah, Mo did a great job. He did a great job. So, okay, so who else did you get a chance to talk to?
No, well, basically, let's go ahead and hear what Keith had to say.
Okay.
All right, so I'm here with Keith, one of the staff members from the USDC event. Keith, tell me, what you think of the event?
Oh, it was a great event overall. I mean, we had a good turnout, great drivers, and it just seemed like it was a fun event for everybody.
Favorite moment from the event?
Definitely the party at the end once everybody had fun. And so.
Okay. Least favorite moment?
Seeing Giacomo hit the wall. I mean, I know he's put a lot of work into that car, so that's kind of sad.
If there's one area of improvement that the series could use, what would it be for you?
Spot for that one. I don't know, crowd control probably a little bit better. I know we need to make it more so the spectators can watch also. Because a bunch of spectators were just lined up against the wall. And at one point in time when I tried to watch, being a shorter person, it's hard to see over people in front of you. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the bleachers will help out a lot.
Anything else you'd like to say?
No, I mean, overall it seemed like it was fun. I mean, we got a lot of good feedback from the drivers. The vendors, they all seemed like they liked it. So, overall it seems like everybody's pretty much happy at the end of the day.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you, Ben.
All right, so that was Keith.
Yeah, no one cares anyway.
Yeah. And
how about Noel? Let's hear from Noel.
Well, what do you guys think of the judges, how they did? Because I actually had Ralph and Noel. I spoke to them.
Well, the judging, like, if they don't know already, we have our own judging system that even if the judges wanted to be biased, it's not possible. So,
right.
You know, they did their job awesome. You know, we don't really hear anything from them. But as, like, you know, a lot of people, talking to Brandon today, and he's like, oh, well, you know, everybody's always concerned who's the judges. And, like, well, it doesn't really matter because you start with a score and you get, you know, X amount subtraction for what you did wrong.
Right.
And you come up with a number at the end. Right. So you can't really be biased on no matter what.
And this is something that me and Ben have been working on when we worked our county line, the King County line we've been developing over the last years. And Will helped us kind of tweak it as well. Is you each judge has 30 points to work with. And you have your corrections that get so many points. And if you're not hitting your clips right, if your line's off, it just – you get you're losing points. It works out a lot better than just say, oh, I think this was this. And what we see in Form AD is that the guys in the beginning aren't getting as good of scores than the guys at the end. And the guys at the end and the guys at the beginning are putting down comparable runs that should be a lot closer. So this judging system, you know, it's working out really well. It's really, yeah. And I really have this time. I don't even think really last time we had any complaints. The only complaints we had last time is there were certain parts of the judging that we didn't clarify. This time we clarified. Everybody knew the rules. They stuck to the rules. And there was really no issues from what I know of any complaints as far as the judging.
Yeah.
Other than the little dance on that bragging rights video, the three judges doing that little dance on the scissor lift, that was a little scary. But other than that, I had no problem.
Yeah, that was That was different. I think the I don't even want to say it.
Well,
there was some Ralph was pretty dice. Funny. Ralph was pretty funny on the radio. I don't know if you guys were listening.
No, we weren't allowed. You know.
Yeah. Well, there's reasons for that. But, yeah. No. Ralph was funny.
Well, I can't really blame them. The music that was playing by the DJ, that he had. Well, he had definitely me dancing.
Yeah. No, the DJ was doing a good job.
Steve-O was dancing. He was all over the place.
Yeah. Well, Steve-O partied with KP the night before, so he was. I was surprised to see him make it there live.
Oh yeah. But let's go ahead and hear from two of the judges from the USCC event.
What are you doing first?
I'll play them back to back.
Okay.
So I'm here with Ralph, one of the judges at the USCC event. Ralph, what'd you think of the event?
I think it was a great event, man. It's definitely one of the best turnouts we've ever had here in South Florida from the previous events we've already had. And honestly, if we can keep up the same progress that we've had, bro, I think we're looking at a pretty awesome year so far.
Favorite moment of the event?
Favorite moment of the event, man, must have been pretty much the entire tandem, session, man. Everybody put on a great show. Everybody had pretty much awesome runs, man. And I don't know, just overall, the entire event was pretty good, man. Like, I don't think I could find one moment from the event that wasn't good.
Least favorite moment?
Definitely had to be Giacomo's crash, man. That crash was definitely intense, and it was just one of those things that, you know, it's very emotional when you know the driver and you know the amount of work and progress that car has, you know, has been through. It's definitely an emotional moment for almost everybody that knew him.
If there's one area of improvement that you think the series could use, what would it be?
There really isn't much because it was a very well-run event, but I think if we can get a little increase in staff just to make the already smooth, schedule the event, just, I guess, a little more staff to make it run smoother. That's about it, but in all honesty, it was just 100% awesome.
All right, Ralph, thank you for your time.
All right, you're welcome, man.
So I'm here with Noel Garcia, who apparently is not on the podcast this week. Noah, tell us why.
I'm going to Tampa this weekend.
Why are you going to Tampa?
Because I want to.
He's going to Tampa for personal issues. But let's go back to the main topic at hand. Noah was actually one of the judges at the USCC event at Sun Life Stadium. And so, Noah, tell us, how was the event in your point of view?
The event was incredible, really, for being a local event. I think it was the best event that South Florida's ever had as drifting grassroots. We had more than just drifting, as it was stated before. We had, you know, live music, food trucks, car show, you know, even we had some go-kart demos. That was real cool to watch. Drifting-wise, the drivers have stepped it up a lot. Judging, you know, it was pretty tough to judge because some of the battles were pretty close and we really had to pay attention to what was going out there. And I see that as a good thing, meaning that the driving level in Florida has definitely stepped it up. So it was a great event. I hope something like this happens again very soon. If you didn't come out to USDC this time, next time it's out there, you come out. It's definitely worth it. And it was a great time, even for people who aren't into drifting. I had a few friends come out, and they thought it was probably one of the best things they've ever seen in their life.
What was your favorite moment of the event?
My favorite moment? It's very hard to tell what my least favorite moment
Well, we'll get to that. Just try to get around. What's your favorite moment?
Okay, we'll get around to that. My favorite moment, I couldn't tell you, but you know.
What was it? Dancing with the other judges along the music.
That was fun. That was fun. I felt a lot of weird stuff going on, but it was fun. But besides that, I think the best moment was, you know, seeing the progression. It's not the moment, but like throughout the day, seeing the progression of the drivers as they're getting used to the track and seeing at the end of the day how well they adapted to the track. And it was amazing to see that our drivers are able to do that now. I remember back in the day, you know, when we first started doing events back in 2004, people would come in and they'd do the same thing all day, and it was kind of rough. But seeing that the sport in our area has progressed, and definitely makes me happy, and there's only better things to come out of it.
The least favorite moment of the event.
Well, of course, everybody would know, and to a lot of people besides me, it's Giacomo going into that K-rail. You know, the K-rail issue was a trial and error thing. As Jackson has already stated, it was a mistake of putting it there. They really were trying to keep the drivers away from the fence. Giacomo tried entering a little bit differently, and it just didn't work out. And you know, it was a driver error and you know, track layout error, if you want to call it that, because having the K-rails there. But you know what? These things happen. You know, even in the pros, it happens. You have to change track layouts or track conditions or whatever. You know, you have to change them up. Even in the pro levels, I've seen it in Formula D, I've seen it in D1, I've seen it everywhere. But you know what? Aside from that, you know, these things happen at every event. You know, you can't. It sucks, but you know, it's a learning experience for everybody, for both the drivers and event holders.
If there's an area of improvement that you feel the event needs, what would happen?
That's a tough call. The event was really good. It ran very smoothly, especially for having two tracks and, you know, having to judge both tracks and running back and forth and stuff. You know, spectators were complaining about the bleachers. You can't please everybody. It's really hard to say, to be honest. I can't really pinpoint something that I really disliked. Everything pretty much ran smoothly, and it went as it should.
Any final statements before I let you go to Tampa?
I'm really proud of our guys, man, down here in South Florida and even in Central Florida, because a lot of people came down for the event. I'm proud to see that we are a scene that has capable drivers, and we're not a scene to be laughed at anymore, as history has shown before. It's getting good, guys, and we're popping pretty much. Like, everybody's taking notice of what we're producing down here in Florida. I still think it could only get better from here. And let's keep pushing forward, man. Let's keep bringing out events like this. Let's have fun doing it.
All right, Noel, thank you for your time. And when you get to Tampa, be sure to stay there. Don't come back.
Screw you, Ben.
All right, so that was Ralph and Noel. And
we're Noel and Ralph. Depending on which way you play it.
Yeah. Right.
What?
Just giving you it out there in case you mess up.
Don't listen to him. He's just
never mind. Yeah.
Okay,
you'll hear. You'll replay this, and you understand what just happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Ralph seemed like he had a really good time, and especially being this is the first time we've used Ralph in the judging position. He did a great job. Ralph, we all know him to be. He's very goofy.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem to ever take anything seriously, but he was able to focus and do a good job. He took it seriously.
What were some of the things he was saying over the radio?
Well,
at least one.
Well, okay, there was one time where there was a cone knockdown on a solo track. And so Guillermo went out there to go fix it.
Yeah.
And then Red's like, you know, whatever, talking on the radio. And Ralph says, hold the line. There's a car on the track. I was like, wow, really? He's like, hold the line. There's a car on the track. And so Guillermo doing his part, running and getting cones. but you know, it was
whoop,
whoop, whoop, whoop. Yeah, it was stuff like that all the time. Oh, Ralph. I love him. Okay. I was really trying to get him here. It would have been good. But he didn't answer his phone.
Yeah.
Jerk.
Yeah. And last but not least, I actually also had a chance to talk to the one, the only, the legend, Mr. Juan Hanau.
You talked to him in his car, it sounds like.
Yeah. Right. I spoke to him, and he was also the number one qualifier, the tandem.
Really? I didn't
qualified
know that.
With 100.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, he made no mistakes. He got the speed.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was surprised, too. I was like, what's a... Somebody got 100. I'm like, what? And now?
It's the first time I think we've had that, hasn't it?
He made no e-brake corrections.
I've never seen anybody do 100. I don't think ever.
Yeah, I'm going to have to tell my judges to be a lot more picky, I guess.
Yeah.
You know? It would have been great if... I mean, if they would have deducted a point or two, then there would have been any sort of skepticism. Yeah.
Well, see, the thing is we had a scissor lift for the judges to get up higher, but they maxed out the weight capacity.
No, they didn't know how to turn a key.
I know. I'm just joking.
They just tried. Jackson. How can you let that fly by you?
Dude, yeah. They drove it away.
No.
I
understand. Yeah, they're too heavy. Yeah. There we go.
Yeah, no.
So
I'll
have a good laugh on that one. All right.
Yeah, well, what can you do?
But they did have a scissor lift all day, and they're all like, it's broken. The guy turned the key and drove it away. Like, there was no problems with it all day. They just didn't turn the key.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they just had to turn the key, and it would have worked fine. They didn't throw the key.
Oh my God.
It was in the off position.
And I asked them, I was like, did you guys know how to operate? Like, yeah, we know how to operate. I'm like, all right.
They kept saying, call Comcast? It's like, is it plugged in? It's like, really?
They kept saying the battery was dead, that somebody had left it on the night before.
It wasn't even out the night before. They drove it there that morning.
Right.
I guess they thought it was electric.
It is electric.
Is it?
They're electric. I use them all the time when I'm at work. They're electric. All you just got to have the key on and activates the batteries.
Oh.
The batteries have to be turned, it has to be turned on. Those seem to last all, like, a couple days.
It must be turned on is the moral of the story.
Yeah. You don't get in your car and my car doesn't run. I think the motor's blown. Did you turn the key? Oh.
But here, so let's listen into what Hanau had to say about the event.
All right, so I'm talking to Juan Hanau, the number one qualifier at the USDC event. Juan, what did you think of the event? That's all? No comment? All right, then. Thank you, Juan.
No, the event was pretty good, actually. I had a great time. The layout was amazing. Very challenging with the elevation, small elevation changes between the parking lot. Even for the solo drivers was pretty good, too. So saw a lot of guys push the limit, get out of their normal, my everyday, every other weekend track to this. They stepped it up big time. The event had great coverage media-wise, had a good variety of shows and girls, food, toys, everything was there, man. I really had a great time. One of the best by far in years.
I know you got to run, but anything else you'd like to say?
No, that's it. Happy that I got where I got. Just 3 years parked and then finally came back out and placed third. I could have done better, but, you turn your weakness into a weapon, and that works for me.
When is the next event we're going to see you compete at?
I'm really pushing for King of Conlan. The whole series for the King of Conlan will be in it. I'm always at the skip pad helping out and maybe taking a lap or two.
All right, Juan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, so that was the legend, Juan Hanau.
Seemed to be very happy to compete again.
Oh, definitely.
I think the last event that he competed against, his car caught on fire.
No.
That wasn't New Jersey?
No, he
did he compete again after that? I think that was, I want to say that was the last time he actually did a real competition, though.
Are you sure? Did he get another SR afterwards?
Yeah, but he may have got an SR, but I'm
sorry. He went through a whole bunch of them, I remember.
Yeah, but after that one, I don't think he competed. I'm not talking about driving. Oh. I'm saying competed, actual competition.
Yeah.
Well, I think that was his last competition.
I think so.
So that was a long time ago.
Oh, definitely, for sure.
Him and Dan. Holding each other on the middle
Dan
of the
track. Nash.
That was pretty intense.
Yeah.
Speaking of holding each other, we had a first that I've never seen before. The bill proposal.
Oh, that's
oh,
right.
Oh, yes, that's really, right. Yeah. How can we miss that?
Yeah. I guess we'll walk through.
Glorious moment. I wasn't there for that. I missed that. I found out the day afterwards.
You did see the video, though, correct?
I did see the video.
We're going to attach this video to this podcast, I think. so people could see it, because maybe not everybody saw it. But no, yeah, then again.
No, I'll link it.
That's one bachelor party I want to go to.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
I better be invited.
That'll
so
be
anyways, awesome. I'm sitting in a line, and Bill, he says, hey, come here. I'm like, what? He's like, during the open ceremony, is it okay if I propose to my girlfriend? I'm like, fine. What do you mean? Yeah, of course.
She's like,
okay.
No. Yeah.
Oh, you can't do that. We're professionals here.
Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, of course you can. So then I he's like, but don't tell anybody. I was like, all right. But I had to tell Ben. I was like, Ben, listen, we got to figure out how we're going to do this. We got to pull him out there during the opening ceremony. Should we do it when we announce him? Should we announce everybody? Ended up, Ben was like, let's just announce everybody first, and then we'll stop everything and bring him over. So that's what we did. So I'm out there. Ben and Steve were announcing. We go through all the top 12 drivers that we had. And then at the end, I'm like, all right, well, you know, Bill, you know, or we didn't even say Bill has something to say. Did we?
Yeah, Bill has something to say. Yeah.
Something. So, you know, I call Bill over, and then, you know, of course, his girlfriend's going to stay because he brought her out in the car to run the track with him for the announcement. So I was like, yeah, no, tell her to come. You know, everybody. I was like, you know what? Just everybody gather around. So we got everybody around. And
nobody calls Chris. You know, I'm just working like always.
We left you to do more important things.
No, thank you. I don't get anything good.
Everything would have exploded if you would have left your post.
No.
Yeah, some guy in a moped would have rammed the gate. And
yeah, through, so. Again.
So anyway, so walk us through the rest of it, Ben.
What's there to walk through? He basically popped the question. That's it.
Well, whatever. It's funny because I felt like a hype man because nobody could really hear. So it was like, you know, will you marry me? And he gives her the mic and she's like, of course. And everybody's quiet and I'm in the background. I'm like, she says yes. And everybody's like, woo. I felt like in Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, when everybody's like quiet and the guy goes, yeah. And everybody goes, yeah. That's what it was. It was interesting. I never seen it work so effective before.
Well, it happens.
It did.
Happens in the movies. Happens in real life.
That was very skillful there too, because she had no way in hell she could have said no in front of all those people.
Hey, there's been times.
I would never.
There say has been some embarrassing moments of, like, that I've heard about. Not necessarily the whole drifting.
It happened
community.
To you?
No, not me. I've heard stories of people they propose.
That would happen to me. That would be me. That would definitely be me. I can see it happening to me.
I can definitely see it happening to you.
Will you marry me? Hell no.
Well,
it's wrong again.
But you know what? If you know Bill and you know his girl, that Britt, that she supports him so much in what he
definitely
does, and she's just
like, I was shocked.
I think he's got the best girlfriend out of all the drifters out there. He really does.
Yeah. No, I was shocked to see her running and picking up cones at SWD event, Formula Drift, last year.
Yeah.
At Palm Beach.
Yeah.
She was right next to us.
Well, I was knocking them over, so.
She didn't pick up the wall you knocked over.
Damn, so come on now. Adding salt to the wound here.
Hey, you know, I got to defend myself somehow.
That's all right. It's always
got. If it ain't the car, it's the driver.
It's always got. It's okay.
I'm sure I'll have my turn. So it's okay.
Jackson would just talk about BMWs, drop tops, and gay people. I'm sure.
What?
Well, my convertible.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah, it's old man.
Yeah, the dog doesn't like it. You heard that?
She's snoring. It's different.
But yes, that was definitely a great moment. Unfortunately, Chris Jackson wasn't there to see it.
Nope.
He was out there putting out fires.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's probably around the same time as y'all with the guy with the GoPin.
Yeah.
Well, tell us, you want to talk to us about that? Or?
Yeah. Well, if anybody did get a pit pass, you realize that you had to sign a waiver, just like when you go to Catalan, you sign a waiver. Mm-hmm. Somebody decided to, you know, not purchase pit pass or not sign the waiver and drive his go-kart to the back section of the track. And me and Keith were...
Wait, a go-kart?
Go-ped.
Oh, scared me. I was a go-kart.
Yeah. Moped, whatever.
Okay.
So
right,
he
go
goes ahead and he... You know, flies by us, and, you know, I yell at him, and he looks straight at me, and then hits it and goes to the gate and, like, struggles to open the gate and opens the back gate and then books it all the way out of the parking lot, and I was on a little slow golf cart, so I couldn't do anything. So I hit the golf cart, and I waited for him to come. Like, very strategic here.
So you set up a speed trap.
Yeah, yes, so I waited for him to come to the gate. So he stopped the gate to show his wrist pam, so, like, he's allowed, like, because he bought, like, a general admission.
Yeah.
And I went. I said no. I'm like, you know, you know, I was yelling at you. Like, what? You didn't hear me? He's like, no, I heard you. Like, I'm like, okay, well, you know, leave. So all my stuff's in there. He's like, well, call your friends, tell them to give you your stuff. You're not going back in. So you know, after a while, he's like, oh, I'm sorry, man. The dog's going to give him no chance. I was like, no, it's not going to happen. So,
Chris leading on law.
You have to, you know, like a lot of people be like, oh man, Chris is a dick today. Chris is, I'm like, no, I'm like, that's just the way I have to be because everybody tries to take advantage of every little bit you give them.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I was Mindy, I'm sorry. I mean, like, I know one person was wrong, Jason Guild, you know, when, you know, got kind of like a little too hard on him. So I took care of that with Facebook and, you know, me and Jason talked and we're cool again.
That's good.
But no, this guy like really just didn't want to listen and, you know, eventually, he just, I thought he was just going to call it quits and just leave and listen to me. But he only went like 15, 20 feet back and he started up his GoPen and tried to ram through the gate with his GoPen.
What?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was still kind of bad. So like, I almost like put my shoulder in his chest and like knocked him off this thing. Thank God I didn't. And he finally stopped before them. But yeah, and I'm like, no, I'm like, now you get you and all your friends and tell them to leave. I'm like, you were there for everybody. He was going crazy and getting loud, and I had to call security, and then security saw he was way out of control, so then we had to call the cops. The cops came, and they were just trying to find a reason to arrest him because he was still yelling while the cops are over there with him. So that was the biggest instance I had to deal with. Other than that, everybody was pretty good behavior.
Yeah, Tim, any drama or any sort of incidents that you went through or any problems you had with anybody in particular? Or
not right, only – one thing I had to kind of deal with was in the beginning of the day, I think Brittany was having a problem at the gate with some pit pass or something. And I just remember you saying, Tim, there's something going on over the gate. Can you go over the handle? So I went over the handle. It was just, and actually, it didn't really be anything. It's just the guy wanted, he wanted to do a ride along or something. No, he wanted to get in a pit and you had to be 18 to sign for a pit pass.
Yeah, we always have this problem.
Right. So and I was like, well, the only way I can get him in, and I said, listen, you're really not much to look in that pit anyways. This guy's working on cars. I'm like, well, that's what we want to see. This and I was like, well, I understand. I go, but listen, unless you can have a parent sign a parental consent form, he goes, like, well, can I sign? I was like, no, dude, you have to be a parent, and he can sign for it. I go, but let me tell you something. Everywhere is a good seat. You got plenty. And so it was didn't really have any issues with that. I mean, the guy was cool after that. I talked to him, and it seemed to went fine. Otherwise, for the most part, all the drivers did what I told them to. They follow the rules for the most part. We let a couple of solo guys take some laps on the tandem track, and they did a good job. But all in all,
they did a good job.
The couple solo drivers that did it, yeah. Well, Jerry Montero.
There's big doubts about the solo guys being on the big track. So,
well, Andrew didn't initiate until he got to the first clip.
Well, you know, it's
there. You go, you know, and I was mainly, I guess, let me say, the one or two drivers from the solo class. JJ did a good job on it. Doug looked, he was too underpowered. Jerry Montero did a good job on it. But
yeah, he just killed it.
Yeah.
So but he's ready for it. He just doesn't want to do it.
Exactly. But everybody, nobody else could really hit it from the solo track except for Jerry Montero. So I'll take that back.
The other incident from what I've been hearing is after the event, the cops got a little crazy.
Oh, the cops did decide to pull over a couple guys, like pretty much just for some random, you know, like pretty much bullshit tickets, I guess if I could say
I didn't really think they were going to do that because during the event, they were keeping people off the fence.
They were talking to us.
They were cool. It seemed like it was being cool. They were radaring the cars from the outside, and the guy's like, oh, yeah, that one car did 70 miles an hour. I was like, yeah, well, you know, we got a radar car.
Yeah.
I know that, too.
Well, from what I heard, the story was a lot of the guys, they went over to this nearby gas station, and as soon as they parked their cars, boom, cops came out of nowhere, turned on the lights, and blocked everything off. And they started harassing all these people. And apparently Sean Forrester
got the worst of it from what I heard.
They
wouldn't let him drive his car home because that whole wall tap he did. So his car wasn't street worthy, I guess. But he's all the way from Tampa, so he had a trip.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what happened. I haven't been able to get a hold of him. Adam, you know, they were trying to give Adam like 5-6 tickets or something like that, but his dad happened to be at BSO, so his dad got involved and took care of it. And I heard they gave JJ a hard time, but they did give tickets, and you know, from those are the only ones we know of. So they could have done it to spectators or pit crew or whoever else we had there, volunteers.
Right.
So we've actually planned a meeting tomorrow with the chief of police.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get it resolved and make sure it's not going to happen again. So
yeah, good.
That sounds good. Is there anything else you'd like to say about the event? Overall, like, what's your opinion about it? What's your conclusions about the event?
Conclusions are that pretty much from what I've been hearing, nobody really has anything bad to say except for the only thing that we really know about is that we need more bleachers.
Yeah, that's what, we knew that.
And I think that's
we knew
always,
that the day before we had an idea, but it's one of those things like, well, you know, do we need it? Can we get away with it? Because it was a bigger track. There's more room to watch from. So we went with what we got, but now we know we're definitely we need to have some legit grandstands, at least three big grandstands for people.
But I mean, even if we planned for a little bit more than what we had this time, and it grows three times more, I mean, like...
No, you don't know until the day of.
Yeah, you don't know until the day of. So, I mean, how much grandstand do we get? That's the question, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So maybe a better PA, which we know. I mean, these are all things that, as the event was going on, we were already talking amongst ourselves, and even after the event, we, you know... So it was really just for us stating what we... Reinforcing what we already knew needed to be fixed. Other than that, I didn't see anything that we didn't think of before you put that,
except for the one guy with the food trucks, like you know, food trucks are not, you know, there was not good enough food trucks. Sorry, the food trucks were not up to one person's standards, but you know,
definitely an improvement on the PA needs to be done. It was really frustrating how trying to get to a certain area or just getting like to up to a certain feet and trying to talk, it just kept breaking apart and
we actually had that problem at County Line. I remember. There's one good mic, which usually Ben has, and then there's one crappy mic, which I got stuck with.
I'm about to check them out.
Yeah. So that was frustrating. But from my perspective, to sort of give the event an overview, summary, conclusion of it, in my opinion, taking in the good and bad from and comparing it to the first event, like I felt the drifting in the first event was a lot better than the drifting in the second event.
I agree.
But the venue of the second event, I think, was a whole lot better than the venue in the first event.
Well, the track was harder on this last one as well.
I'm not talking about so much. Well, what were you going to say? I'm sorry.
What I'm saying is the driving, the track is going to make the driving look better. Make an easier track, a little slower track. The driving is going to look better because it's going to be easier for you guys to get close together. It's going to be, from the outside, a better show. Now, faster speeds, you're going to see it's a harder track. It's higher speed, so the drivers tend to be less aggressive against each other. Maybe when they go solo, they're a lot more aggressive when they go together. So from the outside looking in, it looks like, oh, the drivers put on a better show. But I think if we ran the same exact layout this time as we did last time, it would have been just as good a show. But at the same time, I want to keep it challenging. You know, we shouldn't just, it wasn't as good a show, so let's make it a mid-low third gear course just so we have better driving. Now, my goal is to step this up to where if we would had some more of the pro drivers out there, it'd have been better.
Yeah, well, definitely.
So if, you know, Pat Goodwin came down, Jeremy Lowe would have came down, if
Chelsea
would have came down, if Jason Giovanni came down, Kelsey would have came down, if Esty was driving, if Fink was driving, it would have been a better show.
Yeah.
So, but that's not the track's fault. That's not the layout's fault. That's just we didn't have the drivers that we would have liked to have.
Yeah.
So hopefully next time they won't miss out.
But I definitely enjoyed the venue of this event a whole lot more, especially how everything was laid out. Mm-hmm. I know one of the things that Jackson tried, one of his goals for this last event was to give people something to do, like give them a lot of options to see or do or check out. And I think it definitely fulfilled on that promise because you had a car show and the car show had a stage with music playing.
Two stages, right?
Yeah, two stages.
You had the RC, you had the cover band, you had the drifting going on, two tracks going on. The go karts,
food trucks, all three
food
of them.
Trucks,
all three of them.
that's not really something you go to an event.
You
for.
Do. People go to just food truck rallies.
Oh, whatever. Yeah. Okay.
I will go for just a whole bunch of food trucks to go eat.
Yeah.
Okay, Jackson.
The Pincho Man is one thing that we really need because I've heard good
Pincho
things.
Pincho Man, you got to get the Pincho Man.
I can't find him. He doesn't answer his phone.
Yeah.
Oh, well. But yeah, definitely it's a great venue. So hopefully...
We need to make it more kid-friendly next time. Next time is more kid-friendly.
Bounce house.
Bounce house, rock climbing wall, you know.
Didn't we mention that the last time?
We did. We mentioned it. It just never went through.
I think, honestly, maybe we should see if getting a couple of kiddie carnival rides. Like, just like two of them.
You're obsessed with
I think it would be cool. You get a little dragon that they kids
How about the zipper? I like the zipper. Or the Gravitron.
The Gravitron's
a good ride.
That'd be pretty intense. Yeah.
Well, talking about that, let's see some of the ideas that you have for the next event or better yet, or what kind of... what kind of ideas do you have
more,
for the next
More kid-oriented is like, you know, our next goal. More grandstand is a must. And then...
I know as far as logistically, definitely trying to get something like the rock climbing wall. But also organizationally wise, we were talking with... We met with the stadium official that we were dealing with after the event. We talked about opening a separate gate for drivers and vendors to come in so it's not as cluttered coming in. Because I know that was another issue that we had is that it was a very long line to get in as far as if you were a driver, a vendor, or a car show.
Yeah.
So we're going to dedicate a whole other gate on the opposite side that will cater towards the drivers and car show guys. And then the vendor guys and a general admission can come through the other way or whatever. But at least we'll be able to utilize it. And also we had also mentioned about opening the gates later on in the day. So instead of opening the gates at 9, maybe open the gates at 11 or 12. That way it gives the vendors time to set up so spectators aren't walking through. And most events are like that. Yeah. The vendors are always set up before the gates open.
Yeah.
This time we open the gates at 9 o'clock. So then also as a spectator, you're not there for 12 hours and getting burnt out before the finals. So if we can get the vendors and every the car show all set up so when the gates do open – and as well as for the drivers have the majority of the qualifying done, or at least just starting the qualifying, you know, where the practice sessions are done, and as soon as the gates open, qualifying begins, it's a little more exciting for the spectator to say, oh, wow, they're already in a qualifying. And qualifying always tends to be a little more intense than just open practice. And in that way, we don't lose half the audience when we do the finals, like we did the first one and this one. We lost probably about a good 60% of the audience left before the finals. And we also got to utilize the 5-minute rule more strict.
We also got screwed with the time change this time too.
Yeah, we did get screwed with the time change.
I do recall Tim mentioning that.
Mm-hmm.
Warning you about that, Jackson.
Yeah, warning him about it. He apparently thought we got an extra hour of sleep.
Yeah.
That's what he wanted.
Yeah, he's like, oh, we're gonna play it on daylight savings time. We're getting an extra sleep. It's gonna be great. No, yeah. Chris. Unless no, Chris.
I didn't think about that all the way through.
Yeah, well, it happens.
Now we know. Next time we'll get an extra hour of sleep, though. Don't worry.
You gonna put it on the? Oh, that'd be an interesting day. Do it on next.
Quite that market. Daylight savings drift.
There you go.
Oh gosh. Are you guys still thinking about doing it in the same venue, or are you looking to someplace
else? Yeah, I like the venue. We still have a little working out to do, like, you know, with the stadium. But, you know, we like the venue. We think that's most likely we're going to do another one.
They're very happy with us.
But there's always options, you know. The Sun Life didn't think – never seen anybody come in there for the first event and pull that many people.
Right. Usually they get a couple, you know, maybe a couple hundred, maybe 1,000 people. Yeah. He was really shocked, and he was like, you know – that was really impressive what you guys did for your first event. Second event, how many drift organizers have been able to triple their audience in the second event? I don't know.
Maybe if 10 came to the first one, but I mean.
Yeah, well, that doesn't
count.
We have 10 the first one. Yeah, 30 this time. Yeah, we tripled it. That doesn't really count. We're talking in thousands. That's a good number, man.
We're pulling half a D1, you know. 9 years in advanced.
Format D.
Oh, yeah, Format D.
So make sure you get your facts straight.
Yeah. No, we actually had one guy on Facebook tell us that it was better than D1 and that it was better than no P's.
Oh, we had more people than D1 did when they were at the Hollandale.
You think so?
I think so, because of course.
Are you sure? Because there was a lot of people at the D1 event.
I was hanging out with Kendall Moore the whole time at D1, so
yeah, I didn't get to go to that side. I was shunned.
Yeah.
Were you really?
Yeah, I couldn't get over. Nobody had an extra pass. It was like, hey, why don't you guys come over?
I
was like,
I had a lot. Pass. I just didn't want to give you one.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That was after, yeah. Oh, I had an extra pass. Why don't you tell me? Everybody else, I said, you know, We don't have an extra pass.
You should just put the extra $10.
I should have banned everybody from County Line.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, guys. Don't have an extra pass for you.
Oh, boy. Actually, I have one guy. He told me a story how he, because he went over to the media registration, and he made the person believe that he was a writer for Rick Magazine and gave him a pass.
Where? At Sun Life?
No, at D1.
Oh.
No, they've been around that long?
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, well.
Rick Magazine does like us.
No?
I don't think so. They don't repost anything for us. Neither does Keep Drifting Fun. They don't like us either.
Yeah.
We've been trying to get them to repost our event or share it or, you know, anything. Not so much. And then all of a sudden, like 5 minutes later after I ask him, it's like Rod Becker kissing his baby in Elijah's belly.
Yeah.
Or Ellie.
South Florida drifting, I guess, is being shunned from the drifting community.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You think so? Why is that?
Well, I don't know. That's another topic, but...
It's because we're better.
No. I think it's because we don't have Ralph Fleming.
No, we...
Oh. I think you're right. I think
it's got to be.
I mean, Keep Drifting Fun. They went down to... they went up to CFRC.
Yeah.
They did a video. They did, I guess, an expose on Rob Fleming and his efforts.
I thought it was like a shrine to Rob Fleming. I didn't know that was a video.
Yeah. I didn't mean it as an insult. I'm just saying, like, Rob Fleming has helped.
I don't think Rob Fleming likes us either. Speaking of Rob Fleming, I don't think he likes us too much either.
No.
I don't know why. Rob Fleming has done his part to get Central Florida Racing get noticed.
No, he did. He did a great job with that track.
So I'm not trying to say anything bad.
But it is a shame that.
South Florida is getting shunned a bit, perhaps.
That's because we're North Cuba, as Steve-O calls it. That's true.
Well, North Cuba, South America, same thing. It's not as much Cubans as much as it used to be. Now it's really like South America. But, you know, it is what it is. We have a great down here, and, you know, one thing I notice about the drivers down here, everybody has a good time. We all get along.
There's
not that much drama.
No, we don't care if everybody hates us. It's cool.
No, yeah.
There's drama, but...
There's just drama in everything. But I'm saying as far as from the... We don't have, like, these... I don't know. Everybody has a good time. We all get along really well.
Yeah.
We all have fun. We do keep drifting fun.
Closing statements, gentlemen?
Chris, you go first.
All right. Why do I go first? That's not fair at all.
You've been going first this whole time, so now you don't want to go first?
I've been going first. All right. All right, closing statements. Let's see. Well, thank you guys for letting me come on the podcast again. Actually being allowed instead of just crashing it.
Well, we had to get somebody else.
Yeah, I know. Noel's not coming. Ralph, forget his phone. I grabbed that already. It's like, we'll just call Chris.
Like, what's in the bottom of the barrel? Oh, there's Chris down there.
I'm like, oh, we really don't want to call Chris. We'll come back to him if no one else answers.
Okay.
But, I guess,
You keep saying, Just say something.
You know?
Okay. All right. Let me help you out. Who do you want to thank?
All right. Well, thank you guys. Thank the drifting community. Thank all the spectators for coming out to the U.S. Drift Circuit thing. Everybody better watch out because King County, like, I'm driving. So.
Are you really?
A what?
I'm going to have something ready.
Yeah,
I will drive something.
You were kicking butt when you passed Bert. That was.
Yeah, I know, right? I know, with my janky ass car.
Yeah, I can't believe it. I was like, wow, freaking Chris, what happened? He's back. Chris is back.
Yeah, no.
No, he's not.
Back into the wall.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
Tim?
No, just look forward to more things with the U.S. Drift Circuit. And drift sessions with King of County Line, working together to have bigger and better events. And I really think after this last U.S. Drift Circuit event at the stadium, word's going to spread that it's definitely an event you don't want to miss. We do payouts. We offer competitions for solo and to tandem guys at the same time with a lot of seat time. And we offer a good show for the spectators. With the King of County Line coming up April 14th, all the drivers that's going to help prepare them for the next USDC. So get your cars ready and start saving tires.
Yeah. we'll definitely probably, there's a very good chance we'll be going over the King and Con line, talking about that on the next podcast, talking about rules, regulations, how we're doing things differently this time, some of the things we're doing differently this time around.
Right.
And
because try to get the judges too, if we could find and narrow down the judges, maybe have them on the next podcast as well. At least one of them.
So you definitely don't want to miss it. If you're looking to compete in the King Conley series, you definitely want to listen into the next one, because we're definitely going to be covering that in detail. But with that, I want to thank you all for listening. We hope to catch you next time on the podcast. And this is your host, as always, Captain Ben, signing off.